Blog Talk Radio.
Typical. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, thank you for joining us over here on our new channel, NDV Media 2013. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Don't bother to write it down unless you want to keep it for about 20 days, because that's as far as we're going to keep it here. But yes, Brian got himself a bigger one, and I said I got to get a bigger one too. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't say longer, even though that one would be more appropriate. This time I went bigger. As you know, I have two channels here. Actually, I have probably 170-some channels. But I can only go 2 hours live with 1 hour in the archive. Yes, I know this, so I can go 3 hours. But to go 3 hours live, you have to get a bigger one. Not a larger one. You have to get a bigger one. And I did. And what do I mean by bigger? Bigger price tag, rat bastards. Yep, $99. But you can try it out for free for 30 days. And that's what I'm going to do. Try it out for free. And we've had it for like 6 or 7 days now, so we're down to 20-some. But I want to bring my indelible, the incredible, and the edible co-host. How are you, Big Dog, this morning?
Doing well. I was kind of scared there for a while. You said you were getting bigger, and you were comparing it to Brian, and I don't know.
Well, good morning, Southern gentlemen. Did you really believe I was comparing it to you?
No, not at all.
I wasn't either, Big Dog. I was just carrying on in the the vernacular. That's all. That's all I was doing.
Yeah, but you know, my mind's always in the gutter, so you gotta watch what you say.
Okay, I was just being.
He got permission. He got permission. He's here.
What a dick.
Where's Jonathan at today, Roger?
I don't know. I really don't know. He might finally have a girlfriend. I don't know.
a blow-up doll.
Maybe so. He may have one. I don't know, but he is over there. But I do want to welcome Matt Alvarez in the chat room. Thanks for joining us, Matt. You know you can always call in whenever you'd like, pal. But just a reminder on NDB Media 2, the Couch Potato will be on in under 5 hours covering the women's football game. And then at 2:30 p.m. on NDB Media, of course, Jeff Trek will be on. And then I believe at 5 o'clock tonight, there will be another women's football game as well. So, wow, a lot of stuff going on our sport on the NDB Media Network as well as the Couch Potato Sports Show. Yes, Brian.
Roger, are you familiar with Sky Sports? What is it, in Canada? Are you familiar with that?
Big Sky? I'm familiar with Big Sky from the United Kingdom. But, yeah, it might be the same one because it's part of the United Kingdom
Empire. I thought it was Skynet that was in Canada. But, yeah, I know what he's talking about.
No, actually, okay, Big Dog. No, hold on. Skynet came out from Cyberdyne Systems right here in Carson. The world ends on August 29th, 1997 or something like that. So get it right, Skynet, you dumb butt. Oh, Matt says that he lives alone, so he doesn't need permission. Damn it.
Yep, it's just him, his box of Kleenex, and the lotion. Must be nice.
You know, Matt, I'm glad you live alone. I'm sure you live alone in your room, but about the rest of the house, I don't know. But that's okay. That's okay. But Jonathan, I don't know where he is. I understand that Amazon has been shipping a lot of, those bags, those inflatable dolls and stuff. So hey, whatever.
That's right up his alley.
Yeah, inflatable balls and inflatable dolls. Hey, I rhymed.
So, guys, I'll get some of the show. What did you talk about today, early? Anything interesting, like football? Just about A-Roy.
We waited for you on football.
We waited for you? Oh, God, you are a bigger
I'm honored. I'm honored, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right. Good, great. Go ahead.
Come on, Rod. You got to know how to stroke the ego. Come on.
Artist. Formerly known as a scorekeeper, please.
Brian, what do you think about of course, scorekeeper's favorite
artist? Formerly known as the scorekeeper,
Mr. Plexido Burris. Of course, looks like he tore up his shoulder and is having surgery on Monday. It looks like And looks like his career just may about be over. Do you think he's going to come back from this or what?
That's hard. I mean, it's hard to say with the HGH out there. You never know. He'd get a cycle in him and then come back next week. But I don't know. Plexico's had a tough career, man. He's had some ups and downs. So I'm going to say on this, probably not.
Yeah, he turns 36 next week. Says he's played 11 seasons for the Steelers, the Giants, and, of course, the Jets. 553 receptions for 8,499 yards and 64 touchdowns. Scorekeeper, what do you think about your favorite Wonder Woman? Is he coming back?
Well, he's had an incredible string of, as some people say, bad luck. That's a bummer, dude. Sorry, Plaxico. You're the one that wanted to take your gun into the bar, and you shot yourself. Cling, cling! You missed. Yeah, dude. Because everyone who knows the story of Wonder Woman knows that there's a lot of the Amazonian girls that go up, and Wonder Woman, the one that we know as, was, you know, she actually was going to finish in second place. The one before her got shot in the wrist, and she missed. She couldn't do the bracelet thingy, and she didn't get to be Wonder Woman. And, of course, the Wonder Woman that we know is the one that actually deflected the bullets. So, yeah. So, Plaxico Burress is the original Wonder Woman.
Of course.
The one that got shot in the wrist.
I got a quick question. How the hell, after being back for 2 days, do you get a day off? It says A-Roid is taking a routine day off, and he will not be in the lineup today. He's already been back 2 goddamn days.
A routine day off?
It's what it says. I just got it from the ESPN thing off of my phone. It says third baseman Alex Rodriguez is taking a routine day off and will not be in the lineup today versus Detroit.
Okay.
He's got Madonna-itis.
Madonna-itis. Yeah, he's back in New York. He's hooking up with this girl, so he needs an extra day off. Wow. That's great, dude.
I cannot stand that player, guys. I hate Ryan Braun and A-Rod, not because they took steroids, because they're just such creeps and liars. I hate a liar. I hope A-Rod gets hit in the head and ends his career next game or something. I hate that guy.
And A-Roid is such a douchebag. I mean, he just seems like a jerk, you know, on and off the field. And according to Scorekeeper, he is a jerk off the field also when he asked him for an autograph years ago. So,
formerly known as the Scorekeeper. But, yes, ladies and gentlemen, I did ask A-Roid for an autograph. There were three of us outside the stadium. That's it. There were three of us. That's it. When he came walking out, he had some sort of it might have been his coat, but more than likely it was like the travel bag where your stuff is in. Yes, Brian?
What?
Did you honk? You honky?
Oh yeah, I thought I was on mute. I'm sorry. Road rage, damn it.
Yeah, the honky is using the honk. Way to go, dude. Okay, by the way, he walked out, and he walked kind of like right near us. I mean, a person's width away from us. And we said, very politely, Mr. Rodriguez, may we have an autograph?
Maybe next time.
I'm like, dude.
Maybe next time.
Wow. There was no one else. He wouldn't have been mobbed. There was no one else. We were pretty cool about it. We kept our distance. We didn't get near him. He was about my height. I remember that. I don't know how tall A-Roid really is, but I remember when he came or walked right by us, he wasn't that big of a kid. So, I don't know. I guess that means you would have been looking down at him, Big Dog.
Just a bit. I'm going to check to see exactly what he's listed as.
Yeah, I thought he was about 6'2".
Actually,
he's taller than I am, Scorekeeper. He's listed at 6'3".
Oh, okay. Well, there you
go.
So
he must have been on the...
That was an A-Rod stunt double right there. That's what it was.
It was A-Rod. All this time you thought it was A-Rod, and it wasn't.
Well, there it is.
Yeah,
yeah,
I didn't know he had two kids.
Well, I'm 5'11". And, well, I'm sorry, what?
I didn't know he had two kids.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, over this last week, he was talking about meeting with his wife and the kids
related
to the impending. Yes. It, well, you know, I don't believe as such, but well, you know, once you marry someone for life, you marry him for life. I mean, sorry, that's my belief. So yeah, my wife is stuck with me, or I'm stuck with her, one and the same. But he was discussing some pre-suspension stuff with her about where the kids were going to be, and I don't know, you know. So he still talks to her.
Yep, they were married from 2002 to 2008. He's got two little girls.
Yeah.
And he's a douchebag.
Wow. Good morning, Zeke. We say he's a douchebag, and Zeke comes into the chat room. Wow. Oh, he says, be right back. All right, Brian, Big Dog, I'm going to ask you guys to forgive me a moment. Yeah. Thank you. I'll be right back. Give me about 2 minutes.
Where are you going?
Big Dog, you have the con. And Brian, you have the deck.
So, Brian, what do you think about Geno Smith yesterday turning that ankle over? Think he's going to miss any significant time? From what I'm reading, it doesn't seem like it was too bad of a sprained ankle, but the x-rays were negative, no breaks, no fractures, and he was walking after the game without a walking boot or anything, so it's too serious. What are you hearing?
I haven't heard anything yet about that. But I'm sure he's going to miss a little time, but I don't think he was going to be the starter anyway. So I don't know. I haven't read into that yet.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if Sanchez keeps having the game that games like he had yesterday, I mean, geez. He threw that pick six right off the bat. I think it was like the fourth play of the game or something.
Yeah, he did rebound well and come back and play good, though.
Yeah, he did. Looks like it says Geno Smith had. It says he was 6-7 for 47 yards, and Sanchez was 10-13 for 125 yards. So, not too bad,
yeah,
I guess.
But it is preseason though.
Yeah, exactly. But what I was going to talk about was Mr. Tim Tebow, of course, being the third string quarterback. He was thrown in there because Ryan Mallett suffered a head injury in the second quarter, and Tebow went 4-for-12 with 55 yards, and he had 31 yards passing on. 31 yards rushing on 4 carries. Do you see him at all in any kind of playing time as QB during the regular season?
Zero, none.
Yeah, same here. Do you think he's gonna be like on special teams or?
I don't know I don't even know if he'll be used on special teams. I don't think he's fast enough for it. I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to be on the team? I mean, I'm kind of wondering if he's even going to make the roster.
Yeah. Hold on just a second. I'll be right back.
Yeah. All right, guys. I'm flying solo now. Scorekeeper disappeared. As I said, Tim Tebow made his preseason debut yesterday. The Patriots did win the game 31-22, but as I said, he went 4-for-12 with 55 yards passing and 31 yards rushing on 4 carries. So
I'm back.
We'll see how that goes. All right.
I'm back. Sorry, I was in the bank robbing it.
Oh,
I'm back now.
Well, that was a fast robbery. They must have read the note really quick.
I put my scorekeeper mask on so in case anybody asks, it's him that robbed the bank.
Well, then I'm glad I didn't go down to the studio today.
Yeah, but Tebow you were talking about, man, he is terrible as a quarterback. I don't know what New England was thinking when they got him, what they were going to, what was going through their mind, but I can't imagine him playing anything but maybe a tight end sometimes, maybe line up as a tight end or a fullback or something. I just don't see him fast enough really to be on special teams, do you?
I don't think he's fast enough to be on special teams. Maybe, like you said, an extra tight end on certain plays, or or something. But yeah, I don't see him on special teams. I don't think he's fast enough for special teams. I definitely don't see him, you know, being in the game as quarterback.
But is it worth a roster spot to have him and pay that salary? I mean, I know he's not making a lot of money, don't get me wrong, but still, I mean, that's you're holding somebody else. You're keeping somebody else from having a space that I think could be more valuable. I mean, think about defense, the depth you need or something like that.
I don't understand what they're doing. Yeah, I totally agree with you. I would dump Tebow and keep an extra defensive end or an offensive tackle or something, you know, a roster spot there that someone's that's going to probably be able to actually produce for you for the season. Because I don't see Tebow producing at all for the Patriots. You know he's not going to get in the game as quarterback at all because, you know.
Mallett looked good while he was in there.
Yeah, he did, until he got hurt. Hopefully he's not too serious, because then that puts Tebow at the number two spot.
I think they'd go trade somebody to get a quarterback. There's no way you could put Tim Tebow back there as a quarterback in the NFL. God.
Yeah.
Sonny Clark. Good morning, Sonny Clark.
I don't know if I agree with that. I mean, you got to look at the time, Brian. I mean, I don't know if you can't deny it or won't deny it or will, you know, just say, but he's got more NFL experience than Ryan Mallard. I mean,
but he sucks.
He doesn't suck, and the reason why he doesn't suck is because he wins football games. I mean, you can throw for 150 yards in the NFL and still be good enough in order to win football games, and that's what he does. Now, Ryan Mallard hasn't played it. Has he even played a down in the NFL? I don't think he's even played.
Yeah, I think he has. But he has more upside. Like, he has a good throwing arm. I mean, he has good motion. He has all the techniques to back up and wait on Tom Brady, kind of like Rodgers did to Brett Favre. But Tim Tebow, I remember the Denver days, that defense and the schedule they played, everybody they played was injured. Like, came up to the end of the year, everybody was sitting players out, and the Denver defense won those games. I just don't think Tim Tebow did. He's a leader, don't get me wrong. I do think he's a leader in that, but I don't think he's good enough to take a team like the Patriots to the playoffs.
I mean, if he could take the teams like the Denver Broncos to the playoffs, I don't see why he couldn't take a better team like the New England Patriots to the playoffs.
Denver has a much better defense than the Patriots. They're garbage, and they're in a scoring battle every game. They have to outscore their opponents the way, you know, in a high-scoring game. Plus, they play in a crappy division, where Denver played in a tough one, but the defense at the time was a lot better. If Tom Brady goes off New England and Tebow comes in, they win four games.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't necessarily agree with your answer. I think you could go in there and be adequate. I mean, and that's all you want a backup quarterback to be, is adequate. You don't want him to take over the team and be the next big thing in New England, because he's not going to be that. And because even if Tom Brady gets suffers a huge injury and he's out for the rest of the year, he's the starting quarterback next year for the football team. It's an interesting scenario, I think, in reality, when you think about what could end up happening there. But I'm telling you right now, I'm taking NFL experience over NFL pregame seasons games. So I take Tebow.
So, do you think he's going to be there as their third string quarterback, or would you use him as an extra tight end? Or I mean, so you would keep him on the roster?
Oh yeah, like I said, if they had their choice, I would take Tim Tebow over Mallett. But here's the only thing: the but on that is depending on how the Patriots look. If they look like they are not going to do anything, or something's up because he gets hurt, you got to realize the type of offense. It might fit better for Mallett to be at the quarterback more so than Tebow, because of the fact that he is a pocket passer. This is a guy who does not run around. I mean, he's learned that over the years just by sitting behind Tom Brady. So as far as maybe a better fit for the Patriots, it might be better because for the offense, but for NFL experience, you know, it's a flip of a coin. I don't think you get any better or worse. I just think the fact that Tebow has that NFL experience is the reason why you got to put him there.
Right. You guys are pretty much, you and Brian are more football experts than Roger and myself.
Huh?
Okay. What,
the artist,
what,
formerly
what,
known as
what,
the scorekeeper.
Oh, my. What team would you put Tebow on? I mean, what team does he fit on that in your opinion, if you were the general manager of whatever, what team would he fit on? We'll go with Brian first.
I'd say put him on Jacksonville. I mean, they're going to suck anyway. You might as well have a Florida guy out there taking the snaps.
Wow.
I don't know.
Okay.
Wow, good morning, everyone.
Scotch Potato, what team would you put him on?
I'll tell you, I think the Buffalo Bills missed out on something. I mean, you say what you want. They drafted their number one quarterback, but I think the Buffalo Bills missed out on something, and I give you the reason why. That quarterback that was back there, Fitzpatrick, was always running for his life. And depending on the type of quarterback, that can be successful. So if you set up the offensive line and you set up the team to be successful with that kind of running game, then I think you put yourself in a better position to do that. I believe that. Now, you know, as far as another team, Jacksonville, yeah, I mean, he's a hometown boy, and he couldn't be any worse than anything that's going on in there. However, I do go back to the fact that I do like the quarterback. The problem is that the guy has nobody to throw to. He has no offensive line, and the defense for the first time is probably going to suck because there's just no hope in Jacksonville. So that whole situation, it might not be the best thing for him. Another team that I think that could
Sunny.
Use him, yeah.
Let me interrupt you. I want to welcome Dan, the man in the chat room. When the question was sent or said, where should he go? Dan, the man, said, send him to the Arena League.
Hey, I tell you right now, he would be very good in that league. And that, because that's a built-in, your quarterback has got to run. And if you don't have any outs for plays, with a running game, you're in trouble in the arena leagues and the indoor football leagues. So Tim Tebow is a set for that in reality.
Let me remind everyone, ladies and gentlemen, this is a new channel for the NDB Media Network. We're only going to have this channel for about a month because we are doing it because we have lots of programming and we need the time. Dan, I invite you to join us on our other channels, NDB Media, NDB Media 2. But the Couch Potato, this is the Couch Potato, the hardest working man in sports. We cover the Arena League.
Well, the indoor league, the indoor football league, IFL,
indoor football leagues and the women's football league stuff. So check it out. And, of course, our friend Brian, the Southern Gentleman, is on. He is at Way In Sports. So I think I covered all the bases there, did I not, gentlemen?
There you said it.
All right. Let's go ahead and continue. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, if you guys want to call in and speak with us, the number is 347-826-7074. We're well on our way. We still have 2 hours and a half. We'll see if we'll go the full 2.5 hours, but we're having a good time this morning, ladies and gentlemen. So, Sonny, where is that second team? You said Jacksonville. What's maybe that other team you were talking about?
Well, when I was looking at some of the teams that could benefit with quarterbacks with experience, I think the Arizona Cardinals missed out on him. I think there was an opportunity. I mean, give me Tim Tebow over. Oh crap, his name just slipped my mind. He's god awful. The Oakland Raiders.
Blaine Gabbert. Terrell Pryor.
No. The Arizona Cardinals starting quarterback this year.
Carson Palmer.
Thank you. He's a lot better. Lot better than that. That's an opportunity for him as well up there. And depending on the situation with Minnesota, Christian Ponder is not a good quarterback. Straight out. I'll put that out there. I think to develop him as a pocket passer, if you wanted to do that, I think Minnesota would be a good place for him.
So you think Tim Tebow is better than Carson Palmer?
Oh, God, wow. Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. That's not by a little. That's by a lot. Carson Palmer sucks. Okay, all right, that guy has not done anything for the last two teams that he's been on. All right, so I just don't know what you can really expect from Carson Palmer at his age. I mean, never mind that. The Arizona Cardinals, they may have addressed the offensive line a little bit, but that's not going to be enough. Carson Palmer is going to look like a daisy. I mean, he's going to be buried. He's going to get sacked. It's going to be a freak show down in Arizona because he is not mobile enough to be able to run away from problems. So, yes, I think Tim Tebow is better as far as the Arizona Cardinals are concerned. I would have went with Tim Tebow. Not only that, you would have sold a hell of a lot of jerseys and got fans behind the football team, which, you know, Arizona, they got a nice new stadium, but their fandage is falling off the map a little bit. They were selling out football games. Now they're not selling out football games. They put a Tim Tebow out on the football field. They start selling out football games again.
Or selling their season tickets, one.
Yeah. I'm at the NFL website, and I'm looking up his statistics, and surprisingly, his passer rating is much higher than I thought it would be. And I know he only had like 8 passes last year, but that's besides the point. What is his record as a quarterback?
I think he's only lost 3 games as a starter as a quarterback, and he has
a winning record.
Yeah, he's got a better winning record than a lot of NFL quarterbacks. You know, I'm not saying I'm in love with the guy. I don't think he is the second coming of anything. But when your football teams like, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Buffalo Bills, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Minnesota Vikings to a certain extent, you need quarterback help. And how about Tampa Bay? God, Tampa Bay. I mean, say what you want about Josh Freeman, but that guy sucks. If you're going to suck, you might as well have a guy who's got some kind of experience in there.
Well, there you go, Sonny Clark. But I'd really like to know what your real opinion is on Josh Freeman. You kind of brushed over it real quick. What do you really think about Josh Freeman?
Well, I think he's a compatible quarterback. I mean, and we say it on our show, the Couch Potato Sports Show, and on your show here, Sports Talk with the guys in the new channel here. This is really simple. You look at your franchise, find out about your franchise. You also got to do is look at the quarterback position. Now, I've been told, Sonny, you look too much at the quarterback. Well, if you take away the Baltimore Ravens and you take away the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, name me a quarterback, you know, that is not top-tier quarterback that has been in the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl.
Sonny, you are so right. You realize I was just messing with you. You told
yep,
us you
I,
suck.
But I answered it.
Yeah, you did. All right, Big Dog, where else are we going, pal, unless they have additional comments they want to add to that?
We could stay in with football as let's see what other. Actually, one real quick. I had one NBA note. See if you guys, Brian. I don't know if Brian would remember him or Sonny or yourself. But do you guys remember Chris Gatling?
No.
Of the NBA, he's a former All Star.
Yeah. No. I remember.
The name sounds familiar. I can't remember off the top of my head where he's from.
Yeah, Sonny. The name Gatling comes in almost every action movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger because they have Gatling guns. That's neither here nor there. Ladies and gentlemen.
he averaged 10.3 points over 11 seasons with the Warriors, Miami, Dallas, New Jersey, Milwaukee, New Orleans, Denver, and Cleveland. Well, he was found in Sonny Clark's former hometown of Phoenix.
Wow.
Where he has been accused, and I was already pleaded guilty, to squatting and also he broke into a house in Paradise Valley. Now, well, anybody who doesn't know, Paradise Valley is a very high-end area of the Phoenix area. Very rich homes there. Are they not, Sonny? Sonny?
Say that again. I'm sorry. My kids are walking out the door. Go ahead. Say that again.
Paradise Valley, isn't that like the rich area of Phoenix?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, Paradise Valley is a very nice area. And it's near Scottsdale. So,
okay.
Yeah, there.
Well, Chris Gatling broke into a home there and squatted for about a year. And I guess the homeowners are from California, and they left all the power and water on it. I guess it was like their summer home. They just never went back to it for over a year, and Chris Gatling was living there the whole time and finally got busted by the police when he tried to rent it on Craigslist. And I guess the owners are someone found out and told the owners. The police then went down there and arrested him, and he has pleaded guilty to that. So he is going to sentencing in Maricopa County Superior Court on October the 4th.
That's not good.
And exactly.
Because you got Joe Arpaio there in that court, that kangaroo court that's down there, and he's going to get a lot more than he probably deserves. I mean, yeah, he's going to do some jail time, some serious jail time down there.
Oh yeah. He pleaded guilty to one count of theft and one count of forgery. So Phoenix does not take those. Maricopa County does not take any of that stuff lightly.
No,
he's going to wait for a while.
Yeah, he's gonna. Him and Joe will get to know each other really well. And he'll be out in Tent City as well. It's not. Yeah, that's not good for him. That's too bad.
Yeah,
Big Dog.
Yeah.
Now,
yes,
when did this happen? Was it this week that it happened?
Let's see.
I know it's recent. Very recent.
Yes, it is recent. I read it this week. He was in court on Thursday, so it did happen this week. And then, of course, his sentencing will be on October 4th. So I do remember him. I think if I remember correctly, he was like the number 8 guy, 7-8 guy on the bench. I don't think he was a starter. He was a serviceable player. I mean, he did play 11 years. I mean, he played for a lot of teams, but he did play for 11 years. Double-digit scoring, so, I mean, he could put the ball on the hoop. But, you know, it seems like more and more we're seeing former players of whatever professional sport that they're just getting busted left and right for different things. This is a new one, you know, squatting for over a year in a house. I mean, that one, it's kind of weird. I mean, I'm pretty sure that if neighbors saw him, he probably was like, oh, yeah, I'm renting a house, you know, whatever excuse that he gave, because I'm pretty sure he came in and out of the house as if he owned it. But, of course, his downfall was trying to rent it on Craigslist to someone else and seek the money from them.
Guys,
so I want to know for a year, and this is because Arizona is one hot, hot, hot place.
Yes.
If he had the electricity on, I mean, how do you not know an $800 bill? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, he's getting that bill he's paying the electric bill every month. I mean, how does he know? I mean, damn.
Big Dog, was he doing the squatting because he's broke?
The article did not say. I tried to find the different things about him, and all that was given was just his background as far as his playing days and this article itself. So he pretty much, after he left basketball, he kind of fell off the radar up until this happened. So it doesn't say whether he was broke. I would assume he was broke. I mean, if he's squatting in a mansion, you know, or maybe didn't feel that he couldn't afford it. That's what the type of house that he wanted. But you would figure, you know, he must have been broke or something, or I don't know if he was destitute or not, but pretty damn close to it. I mean, if you're breaking into a house like that. My whole thing, though, is like the way Sonny was saying, you know, as the homeowner of your second home and you get the bill sent to you, I mean, you would think you would notice an increase in the water and the gas and the light.
Not necessarily, guys. Yeah, I mean, you don't know. Does the homeowner have the electricity on?
That was part of it, yes. They said this is right here. Police say the homeowners lived in California but left the power on at the Arizona home.
Okay, well, here's the thing. He could have been paying the bill. If he was destitute, he was destitute. But you'd be a whole year, guys, a whole year. Trust me, after 3 months, if the bill is $800 for electricity, come on. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what the whole deal was. But hey, you know, but then some people, hey, if you own a second house in Paradise Valley and you live in LA, yeah, I think an $800 electrical bill might be a blip.
It might be, maybe because $800 is a value to me. So you might be right, scorekeeper. But man, I don't know, man. How do you miss it? I mean, you have the water bill and electric bill, and you look at the water bill and it says that you use 10,000 gallons of water, and you're going, how the hell does that happen? I'm not even there. I don't know.
Wow.
I mean,
hey, by the way,
maybe that's how you keep the grass green. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe, guys, I got to tell you, Zeke said he's going to go eat breakfast, so be back in a bit. Thank you, Zeke. I do want to thank Dan the Man for following our NDB Media channel. Thanks for the follow. That reminds us, guys, follow us on NDB Media. If you really want to follow us, go to our Facebook page, our Twitter feed, all that. It makes us feel good, makes me feel good. If you want to follow my Twitter page, of course, it's RogerNoriega1701. Makes me feel good. Thanks for that, and I gotta ask you guys. Matt Alvarez posted something in the chat room. He was asking Dan in the chat room that if he was, let's see, what was his opinion about the NFL starting preseason now, as opposed to October like normal? The silence. Yeah.
I can't remember when the last time the preseason started in October. It's always been August.
No, hold on a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, NFL 2014 starts in October. I know that pretty much. But I've never known the preseason to begin in October. Unless it was a strike.
I've never heard of it. Usually in October, they're well into the regular season.
Yeah. Usually.
Well, August, October, it's kind of close to each other. Maybe he's just mixed them up.
August.
Hey, guys. Can I ask y'all a question about the preseason?
No.
Sure. How much stock do you put in, like, these first week or two of teams? I know a lot of people are bragging, saying their team looks great and everything, but you can't tell a damn thing, in my opinion, about what's going on in week one, could you, Sonny?
I don't put a lot of merit on any. It's so much so, I watch the Canadian League. I don't watch preseason until week three, week four. And to that point, there's so much rust that it doesn't even interest me as in good football. Like I said, I'd rather watch indoor football, or I'd much rather, I'd much rather watch indoor football or women's indoor football before I watch, preseason football in week one and week two.
Well, Matt, if you're going to ask my opinion, or I'm sorry, stuck on Matt over there. Southern Gentleman. You can get something out of preseason football. Actually, you can get a lot of stuff out of preseason football.
No, but
game
one. Okay, go on. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Big Dog. Game one is something where you're really wanting to see what kind of shape these guys are in. That's one, if they're overweight, underweight, whatever. You can get some stuff out of it, but I mean, for anyone to start saying, week one is here and they won their first game, that's it. That right there. Stop right there. That's the only analysis you can get out of it. Yee-hoo! They won game one.
Yeah, they won. Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah.
Fuck.
The Cardinals
went 4-0 one year in their preseason. They ended up the season 3-13. So there you go.
I'm a big believer on that, and as far as baseball, and the Big Dog knows it, that when my team has a lousy spring training, I am thrilled. I am thrilled beyond belief, because in the season, that means they're going to be a lot better off. Because when you have a lousy season, you have a bunch of vets coming back, and they're just shaking the cobwebs out, and they're not even trying to compete because they're trying to get back into playing form. And if you have a team that goes 30-0 in the preseason, you got a bunch of hungry kids that were busting their butt to make the team, and that's not going to translate to the regular season.
Right.
And I always tell the Big Dog, I love it when the Yankees have a crappy postseason or a preseason, but the Yankees are the only ones that always turn that on its ear. When they have a good preseason, they usually do very well in the season too. But whatever.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. Yes.
It's good to see. It's good to see the new guys trying to make the team. I'll admit that. When I look at the players just drafted, maybe trying to make the team and to see for fantasy value, fantasy purposes, maybe someone else doesn't know. I mean, that's where it's beneficial. But these guys could give less than a damn about how they perform as starters. You play one series or something, you can't get any kind of indication of how a team's going to perform. Like somebody said, Arizona last night beat the crap out of the Packers. Do you think that's really going to happen when the regular season comes up? No, not a chance.
No.
And the Raiders beat the Cowboys.
Yeah, I like to look at the first two series, how the first two series of these games go. That's it. All right. And then I'll kind of compare, but I don't put a lot of weight on it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I was just
wondering
because a lot of people are acting like it means a lot. Like, hey, you picked the Dallas to win the East. Look how they looked last night. Well, who cares? I mean, how they looked against Oakland. They were only a one-point favorite.
Yes. You know what? If you are associated with people that actually do that, your universe is very small, dude. It's very small. Because
no, it's just on message boards and stuff like that on your Way In Sports page and things like that. If you'll go.
Well, it's a bigger universe then. But, you know, let them brag all they want because they don't know anything. They really don't.
Can't put a lot of weight on it.
Nope. The only thing you can get out of there is if the players are getting back into form and if they look good, that's all. That's all it is. Because, guys, I mean, are they even hitting in the games yet? Peter, Big Dog, do you notice if they're hitting in the preseason games yet? I mean, they are, but, I mean, they're only at, what, half their normal?
Yeah, I mean, like Brian said, I mean, it's only game one. You know, week one, you know, you're trying to get guys that are trying to make the team, the young kids and stuff. The veterans are only going to play a couple of downs if you're lucky. You won't see them in the second half. You don't really see anything till maybe the last one, the fourth game, where you're going to see the real team that's going to be playing in the regular season. And even then, they only play about the first half or maybe the first quarter and third quarter. So I don't take anything into the first couple of games. Yeah, the Raiders won, big whoop-de-doo. You know, can they do it in the regular season? That's my big question. And until I see different, I don't think they will. I mean, they haven't done it the last three, four seasons. So, and I don't see any changes that they've made that's gonna change my mind about the Raiders. So yeah, this win over Dallas. So what? It's week one.
Yeah, Brian. Look. People who are actually saying you can get something out of it other than what we said right now, they obviously have nothing else to talk about. They really don't.
It's like the Eagles. I mean, I was interested to see how they were going to, you know, look week one. But here's the deal. You think Chip Kelly's really going to show his offense off right now?
That's another
thing. The preseason?
Absolutely.
No, not a chance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There it is. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to take a quick moment. As you know, we have NDB Media, our flagship channel. We have Dan Schlossberg, who does the Travel Itch Radio. He also does another sports program. I'm not sure what it is. It's a Braves Banter on another channel. But he has a new book coming out, The Baseball Catalog by Dan Schlossberg. Check it out. The Big Dog knows that I have several of his books, which I purchased without knowing it was the same Dan Schlossberg. And I just noticed on his Facebook page that he has the baseball catalog out. And if you guys want to check it out, by all means, you can always catch Dan Schlossberg on NDB Media every Thursday at 5 p.m. Sonny, we've got to get him to come on over here. We got to invite him over. I hadn't thought about that.
He's more than welcome to join me or anybody. Everybody's welcome.
I've never invited him. I got to bring him over to the sports. He is hardcore A's Brave guy. I mean, I'm sorry, a Braves fan. And he's in hog heaven because they're the hottest team right now in baseball.
You bet. Well, Big Dog Scorekeeper, I'm going to listen to the show, but I've got to start moving around because I got to get ready to go. I got to walk out the door here in a manner of 45 minutes. So I got to get my she-yacht together and get ready to head on over to the stadium for the indoor football games that you're going to hear on Blog Talk Radio, the women's indoor football, the WAFL, that we're going to be doing on your show, the NDB Media Sports at 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, where the Archers are taking on the Bayou Queens, and then at 6:30 on the Couch Potato Sports Show, it's the Dallas Darlings taking on the Houston Lady Oilers. That's today on Blog Talk Radio and the Couch Potato Sports Show and NDB Media.
Yes, NDB Scorekeeper, Media 2.
Got it.
Scorekeeper and Brian, you know what he really needs to say is he has 45 minutes to shower, shave, put the cologne on, wash all the places really clean, so he can say, hey, get the fedora going with the pimp stick so that he can walk into that stadium ready to go.
And so much so, I told my wife I was calling two. They're having a doubleheader. I'm calling two indoor football games. I failed to say that it was women's football. And she definitely had a few words for me. She said, you know, I don't like you doing that shit. But, you know, I'm doing it anyway.
And it just happened to slip your mind that you were going to tell it was women, right?
It was doubleheader, and you know, and then the funny thing is, she heard me on a show. She called me away from the show when you were doing it, and she called me away from the show. She says, "This woman, you know, you don't like me doing. I don't like you doing that shit." Plus the day of. That's not good.
That was good.
Buddy, I'll take your place, buddy, if you ever need
it. Yeah, there you go. Hop a plane, baby. Hop a plane.
Yeah, I do. Sonny Clark, the hardest working man in sports. Thanks, Sonny. We're going to leave you on. If you want to jump back in, jump in.
Yeah, leave me on because I got my speakerphone on mute, but I want to listen to you guys. So
Sonny,
keep going.
Sonny, are you having a show tomorrow?
Yes, I am. It's all set up 11 o'clock, as far as I know, unless Cuervo needs to change it. It's that being said, we're going to be looking, taking a relook at the AFC and NFC East.
Okay, cool.
All right, and that's Central Time, ladies and gentlemen. So that's 9 a.m. Pacific Time for that one. Dan the Man followed up my comments about are they really hitting hard after all. And
oh, God.
He says that, yes, in the Lions game, you know, The vets were not, the young kids were. And, of course, the young kids are trying to make the team, and that's the way it is. And I agree with that. I think that's throughout everywhere. The kids are hitting, the vets are not. When we get to the third and fourth game, and really by the fourth game, that's when it starts to really get serious. So, yeah, and I should have mentioned that. So, thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Brian, do you have anything you want to go over right now? Or otherwise, we go with the big dog and continue.
Well, I just wanted to say the NCAA, I know y'all know, is investigating Johnny Manziel getting paid for autographs and everything. And I just wanted y'all's thought, Big Dog and formerly known as the Scorekeeper, whatever your name
is
now.
Thank you.
Should players be able to make money off of an autograph? And here's what I'm saying. I don't think players should get paid anymore. I think you can forget that. But I believe if you're good enough to make money off of a signature, as long as it's not memorabilia jerseys of your team, I think go for it. I mean, I really do. I think it's a good chance if you're that good. There's not many kids in college football that would be paid for autographs, but I just wanted y'all's thoughts on it real quick before we move on.
Big Dog?
Actually, I was going to defer to you first.
Fair enough.
I agree. If they're good enough to warrant someone wanting their autograph at the college level, you know, and it's not the school memorabilia. I mean, if they're just signing you know, it's not game used stuff. I don't see the problem with it. I mean, you know, we've talked about this before. I feel these guys should get paid something for playing football, you know, for the school. I mean, these universities are literally making tens of millions of dollars off these guys. You know, and they're not even allowed to work at McDonald's to flip burgers, you know. Now, I know all the little side stuff that goes on, you know, how they're driving the cars and stuff, but why not just make it legal? I mean, these guys work their butts off to have a winning program, and, of course, they're trying to make it to the NFL or Major League Baseball or the NBA, you know, what have you, these guys should get paid something. And as you said, I mean, there's only a relatively small percentage of players that you're actually going to want an autograph from at the college level. And if it's not, you know, if it's not game use stuff, if it's just a regular baseball, football, basketball, and you're just signing for a particular sports shop, I don't see there's a problem with that. They should get what they can, because who knows what happens next week. You know, they tear an elbow, they tear up a knee, and they're done. And you know, unfortunately, that happens to a lot of players, or they're a standout in college, but it doesn't transfer to the professional level. I mean, we've seen that so many times, where these guys are gangbusters in college, and they just can't cut it in the pros. So I think, you know, you can get what you can when you can. Scorekeeper, formerly known as.
Look, thank you. And, you know, I'm only going to do that for today, guys, because, you know, A-Rod wants to go by as formerly known as A-Fraud, but that's neither here nor there. Guys, I have no problem with these guys, because I mentioned this before. When you're in college, many of them have to get a job to pay their way. And that's what it comes down to, guys. If they have to pay their way, there should be no problem. But the majority of them are on scholarships. So you have to consider where the scholarship is. Or if it's tax money, and that's it. If it's from a private institution and you get a scholarship, there should be no limitation whatsoever. But if you are at a public university, state-owned or whatever, then if you're going to get paid, all that money should go to reimburse the grants and all the federal and state, in other words, the taxpayers. I don't care if the kids are making money, provided that my investment in them, the taxpayer, gets money back too. So I have no problem with that. But if they're going to get a free ride and it's taxpayer funded and they're not paying me back, the answer is no. So that's my logical argument. But the reality is the NCAA is not going to allow it to happen because they're making billions, guys. And Dan says, the way I see it is with colleges that they're already getting paid. Free ride, which equals 50 grand. Well, I think you're getting our thoughts, Dan. It is a free ride. If it's a free ride, they need to pay back that free ride because, it, you know, hey, if they're going to make that money, then the taxpayer should get theirs first. That's my only thing, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily a free ride because let's go with the number that he gave, 50 grand. At the same time, as you said, that college, because they're playing and getting that free ride, the college is making 10 times that, maybe 100 uh-huh. times that back.
Yep.
I mean, so it's being more than paid for. So, and yet these guys...
Whoa, wait. Well, yeah, but he's talking about the player. The player getting the free ride. Okay.
Yeah, but and it's the school that gives them the free ride, so the school is getting their money back by the $10s and $20s and $30 million that they're getting back as a team.
The school is getting the money back because they're charging, but the taxpayer is not. Guys, remember, there are a lot of things involved here.
But you're assuming a public school, though, as you said. And that's why I'm saying he's not saying it's a public school giving the $50,000 ride. He just said a school. So I'm just saying the school is getting the money back. Now whether the school pays back to the state, we don't know. I mean, if you were to throw a drop in the bucket, I mean $50,000 per player, if it's that much, on a public school. That would be nothing for UCLA. The money that UCLA gets back for their football team and their basketball team, that's a drop in the bucket for them, for each player. And we all know that. So if they're getting that kind of money, I'm pretty sure there's something worked out with the state and the school that they get a percentage of that back. They know, the state knows how much money the UCLA is making, or Cal State Fullerton for their baseball teams. You know, or you know, any other public school around the country, the state knows that these college universities make as we said, tens of millions of dollars. So they're going to want some of it back. So I'm pretty sure they're getting their money back.
As far as, and sorry to interrupt, as far as the taxation issue goes, no. Officially, no. The money stays with the schools. And all the monies that are generated stay with the schools. My only concern is, and I'm sorry to reiterate it, is we as taxpayers carry Pell Grants, regular grants, all that stuff. That comes out of the state general fund money, and there are federal ones as well. Though that's all I'm talking about. If the football player can make money, then they should pay back the public one. Private schools, whatever. I don't care. But we as taxpayers, we're putting them through school. If these kids are going to make money, you know what? The money should come back to pay us back. So, I don't think there's any argument, really. We all agree that they should make money, right? They should be paid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Off of their signature. Off of their signature only.
Signature and or, you know, endorsements. If they're going to get endorsements, they should be signed. But then again, the endorsements go to the player and not to the school. See, that's the thing. It'll never change, guys, because the NCAA wants to get all the money. And
yeah.
But
well, the thing is, guys, they had it on their
challenge
website,
this.
Roger.
I'm sorry?
You know, the other day, Skip Bayless, I think, no, what's his name? I'm talking the guy at basketball. What's his name? I can't remember. But anyway, he's from ESPN.
Stephen A.
He's from ESPN. And Jay Billis, he's talking about how hypocritical the NCAA is. They're investigating Johnny Manziel, you know, for all of this. And he went to the website and he started typing in names of players on the NCAA's website, pulling up jerseys. And they're selling these jerseys, and it didn't have, like, Johnny Manziel on it. It had football on it, like, at the back, an A&M jersey, which is Johnny Football. And they started looking at it, all these different players, and they're making money, the NCAA, directly off of these players, and now they took it down. They're not selling any more memorabilia or anything for these players because the NCAA's already had about 10 black eyes, and this was huge. They're so hypocritical that they're trying to take money and punish a kid when they're making money off of it. The bottom line is they're so damn greedy, they don't want anybody making money but them.
That's what it is.
That's
exactly what it is, that they want the full stream going to them. So you're telling me the NCAA actually?
Yeah.
So the schools had these jerseys for sale?
I guess they did. I don't know, but I just know that you could go purchase a Johnny Manziel jersey on the NCAA website, you know, without his name on it, but it had football on the back, and you could look up other players, other big players, and you could pull their jerseys up, and people were buying them, but the NCAA is making all of the money.
Okay, yeah, of course. Now, did it have his signature on there? No, right? But it was just that they're selling the jersey.
They're selling the jersey with the colors and his number, but instead of having his name, it says football, so Johnny Football.
Oh,
everybody
sure.
Knows whose jersey it is.
But it's all about Johnny Manziel. So anybody that goes out and purchases that is doing it for Johnny Manziel, really. And it's like
give me
Cam
a quick
Newton,
moment.
Number two for Auburn.
You're right.
That's what
Brian, give me a quick moment. I want to thank Matt Alvarez for joining us again. And I didn't mention on this channel, ladies and gentlemen, Matt Alvarez got himself some love from Eduardo Quesada, recently retired anchor of Channel 34 or Univision out here in Southern California. So he got some play on Saturday or on Friday. Thanks, Matt. Of course, he does the sports opinion show here on NDB Media 2. Go have a good breakfast at Denny's, pal. Get out of there. It's about 9 o'clock on the Pacific Coast. Have a great day, Matt. Oh, Matt. Matt. Hey, Matt. I need your email address. Thanks, Matt.
Yes, definitely need an email address.
Thanks, Matt. Matty boy. There you go. Anyway, let's go ahead. I'm sorry, Brian, I interrupted you. I wanted to get him before he left. Sorry about that, sir. Brian?
Hello? Yes.
Yeah, Brian.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I'm sorry I interrupted you, but I wanted to get Matt before we left.
Okay.
Oh, he says, I know, I said his name wrong. yesterday. All right, that's cool. Matt, need a NDB Media email? Okay. Anyway, all right, here we go. Yes, we have NDB Media emails. So, yeah, mine is, oh, maybe I shouldn't say it on air, but it's okay. I know Way In Sports email. It's wayinsports at wayinsports.com.
We have a lot of emails.
Yeah, remember how many people might actually try that. But anyway, so yeah, Matt, we need an email. Need an email, so thank you. Okay.
Here it is, though, Roger. It says Emmert's president. It said no revenue was realized from the portion of the website that sold players' jerseys. ESPN's Jay Billis broke a story earlier in this week by typing in the name Johnny Manziel in the site search engine. What came up was a variety of Manziel's number two jerseys. The NCAA has maintained in the past that the jerseys don't represent a particular player. And then on Wednesday, they found one with Reggie Bush autograph, and he's the one that, you know, actually his autograph, he's the one that got on, they put them on probation for years. So, I mean, the hypocritical NCAA, that just pisses me off what they're doing. I wish football would disassociate themselves from the NCAA and do something else.
I agree. As a matter of fact, if anything, the suit that the football players, I'm sorry, the collegiate athletes have against the NCAA is something akin to the reserve clause that baseball had in the early part of the 20th century. We all know that Curt Flood is the one that broke through that and made free agency possible. And it's possible that that's what's going on right now in collegiate sports. With the NCAA. It basically is the reserve clause. The reserve clause says we own the destiny of the player, period. And that's it. So that's what it is in collegiate stuff right now. And, you know, some people will say it's akin to slavery. Cut it out, people. Cut it out. For any of you that are going to say that in sports it's akin to slavery, you don't know what you're talking about. And you actually bring down slavery by comparing it to collegiate sports. That's being imbecilic. But anyway, all right. Big dog, where else are we going?
Anywhere you want.
I'd like to go sports.
Okay. Well, we were talking about Jacksonville earlier. I don't know if anybody saw it yesterday, but the Jaguars receiver Justin Blackmon was escorted from the field following a heated argument with the Miami Dolphins cornerback, Nolan Carroll, in the second quarter. It says Blackmon is sitting out the preseason while recovering from groin surgery, but he was on a sideline in street clothes when he started jawing with Carroll. It says it was unclear as to who or what prompted the verbal tiff. It says the exchange intensified to the point where Jaguars coach Gus Bradley had to get involved. His running back, Marcus Jones-Drew, stepped in, calmed Blackmon down, and escorted him to the locker room. It says that when the third quarter started, that Blackmon came back out and apologized to the coach. It says they kind of hugged it out, and everything seemed to be okay. But anybody that doesn't know, though, it says he's suspended for the first four games for violating the league's substance abuse policy. So. And that stems from two alcohol-related arrests in the past 3 years. So, you know, he's not scoring any points by John with you know, the opposing team and almost causing a fight. So I didn't catch it. I don't know. Did either of you catch that?
Brian, I'm sure you did, but before we go on anything else, I want to remind you, Big Dog, that he is scoring points with someone. It's called a DMV. Every time you're nailed for drinking, your points... Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead.
No, I mean, it just, I didn't see it, but I was actually reading about it, Big Dog, when you brought it up. I was starting to look at it. So, Justin Blackmon, though, I don't know, what would he be doing having an argument with a quarterback on the other team when he's on offense?
Maybe the guy said something to him, called him a drunk. Who knows? I mean, you know.
Well, he is.
Yeah.
So, is this like in the remember the World Cup where Zidane was going in for a play and the other guy said, "Yo, mama's a terrorist," and he headbutted him and pretty much blew it. Is that what we're talking about? They were getting into a shouting match with each other during the game. Really, Big Dog?
Yeah, exactly. They were getting the shot, and it got so bad that the coach had to jump in because there was, it looked like it was going to start to a fight, you know, but of course professional players don't know how to fight, so, you know, it just would have been a shoving match, you know.
Just
but,
a bunch of divas, man. They're overpaid. I mean,
yeah.
they're little bitches. They run around getting in trouble all the time. Who cares about?
Yeah, you can't say trouble on the air, sorry.
Oh, you can't? Why?
You cannot say that word.
Beep.
You can't say trouble. And, you know, I got to wake up our beep guy because he's not doing his job.
Well, why can't you say beep?
Okay, Brian.
It goes over the southern gentleman's head. It's okay.
It did.
Yeah,
it was all right. It's okay, dude. Sorry. It's because you said the little bitches, and we didn't say a word, but when you said trouble,
oh, okay.
I went,
okay.
Sorry. Oh, man. Anyway, it's all good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Having a great time this early in the morning. Yeah, that's why. He's a southern gentleman. That's why.
That's right. And, of course, more news on Mr. Aaron Hernandez, as now his cousin is in custody for it was a female, and they sent her to the grand jury to testify, and she refused to answer any questions. So she's being held in contempt and has been there since August 1st. She's been there since then. People have been wondering why, and they finally yesterday explained why, and that's because she's refusing to answer any questions. It's been said that she knows some of the details of the murder that they were told to her by Carlos Ortiz, which, of course, is one of the guys that's being held in connection with the case. And what I thought was interesting is that the girl's name is Tanya Cummings Singleton. She's 37 years old. But what I found interesting was that Thaddeus.
She's obviously not very forthcoming.
Yeah.
She's probably afraid she's going to die.
Yeah.
Well, this is the interesting part. Thaddeus Singleton, which is her husband, was being questioned before he was killed in a car crash in late June.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just about a month ago, so that's kind of weird. So, yeah, she may feel that maybe the husband's crash wasn't an accident. I don't know, and that's why she's refusing to talk. But,
yeah, big dog. I think two or three of his family members have been killed in random accidents since he's been arrested. Two or three.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I promise. You can go look it up. Car accident.
We need Conspiracy Couch to come in and give us his thoughts on that.
The first one was like, oh, this doesn't sound right. And then a week or two later, I think his uncle or something was killed. I mean, it's like, wow, his whole family's starting to fall apart, and I think he's having them knocked off right now.
Wow.
Could be the ones that know something about it, because, like they say, this Ortiz guy was supposedly told Tanya that Hernandez killed Lloyd. So maybe that's why she's figuring if she just keeps her mouth shut, she'd rather stay in jail and stay alive rather than say something and, you know, end up dead in a car crash or something.
Yeah.
You know, I do want to say this, that I think it's funny. I came across a radio station here on Blog Talk Radio, and the host's name is Aaron Hernandez. And it shows a picture of Aaron Hernandez. I thought it was funny. It's like Aaron Hernandez is doing his own show on Blog Talk Radio.
Live from prison.
Yeah, there you go.
It's funny.
Maybe they give him 30 minutes on the phone so he does his show real quick.
Oh, so he can do a free show on Blog Talk Radio.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. All you have to do is have
a
pin.
Hey, guys, I'll be right back.
Okay, thanks, Brian. I just had to give it play. I think it's funny. The guy's creative. Started a program called Aaron Hernandez Radio.
It's
funny.
And it's actually the picture is actually Aaron Hernandez?
Yes.
Wow.
That's funny.
That takes a lot of guts.
It does, That's why. I think it's funny. I'm going to see if I can find the link. But I want to listen to the guy because he's only been on about a week. It's funny. It's creative. The Aaron Hernandez radio. it's good stuff. I'm sorry. I thought that was funny. But all right. Yeah. All right. Sorry. Go ahead, big dog.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry Well, maybe we're done, dude, if you're that tired.
Well, back to baseball. Well, what I thought was interesting was that in the first game back for Mr. Aroyd,
you blockhead.
The Yankees gave him they hand-delivered a letter to him officially informing him that he will be disciplined for seeking a second opinion to an injury without club approval.
Okay.
Aroyd and the Yankees fought publicly late July over the health of his quad. Without officially informing the team, Aroyd had orthopedic surgeon Dr. Michael Gross of Hackensack University Medical Center examine him with an MRI. Dr. Gross then did the media tour. It says the Yankees also sent an official letter to Francisco Cervelli telling him that he will also be disciplined for failing to report to work prior to the announcement of his 50-game suspension. Sounds like the Yankees are a little bit pissed at everybody. What do you think about that?
It's an issue of money right now. They're just trying to recoup all the money they can. I was really surprised that Cervelli didn't call. I think that's, whatever. Maybe he just didn't have the nerve and he just didn't show up that day.
Well, he probably figured, I'm going to be suspended. I'm going to be suspended. Why go to work?
But if you notice that when they handed out the suspensions, they did say it was effective on this day. Maybe Cervelli didn't read that part. It happens.
Probably.
But going back to the A-Rod thing,
This
is the issue. The doctor did not examine Aroyd. What happened was Aroyd sent him a copy of the MRI, and that's what was specifically stated, is that he didn't even examine him, and that's what the doctor says. Well, without the examination, I can only go by what's on the MRI, and the diagnose is a code or level 1 strain, which we now know, for those of us that didn't know, a level 1 strain is I cannot provide medical proof, but the patient says that it hurts.
It hurts, yeah.
So that's a level 1 strain. We all learn something. So when we go to the doctor and they say, you got a level 1 something, they're saying, well, you say it hurts, but I can't find any medical proof for it. So, but again, the doctor did not examine him. He only examined the MRI. So this is what I mean. These things that are being reported are bastardized, and then it gets out there and everyone goes off with that. That one is wrong, big dog. He did not examine him. He examined the MRI.
Well, but the letter that they gave him saying that he's going to be disciplined,
big dog. It's what was written in the article that he examined him. No. Everything else is correct.
Oh,
you cannot solicit an opinion of someone else
without
team approval.
Yeah. Which I can't blame the team for. I mean, you know.
Well, I mean, you can actually go see your own doctor if you really want. You just can't let the team know.
Or you can tell the team, I'm going to go see a doctor, and, you know, this is the person I'm seeing. I guess that would be fine also.
Well,
as long as he's approved by them, or by maybe the baseball season.
Well, yeah. The team is right and entitled to ask why. And if he says if it's of a personal nature, well, okay, you know, it depends, because the teams provide everything for the players.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there's some
Brian,
players that, there's some players though, like Kobe Bryant, who I guess just likes his own doctor and actually pays for it out of his own pocket. So, and I guess as long as he's approved by the league and the team, I guess. You know, and I think it depends on the type of player you are also. You know, Kobe's, you know, still one of the top players in the NBA and the top player in the team. So if he says, this is a doctor I want to go see and I'll pay for it out of my own pocket, you guys don't have to worry about it, and they'll work in conjunction with the team doctors. Then I guess that's why the Lakers say, okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, since you know, the artist formerly known as the scorekeeper is here, I am going to put on my other hat, which is Labor Man.
Oh, yeah. Labor Man.
And ladies and gentlemen, under workman's comp laws, you are entitled to choose your doctor in advance. So if you have a workplace injury, you can go to see your doctor for the workplace injury, but it has to be designated and in writing. You can't just say, well, I have insurance, I'm going to go to my doctor's. Well, you can do it, but if you were hurt on the job, you have to go see the team's doctor unless you pre-designate it. So it's very possible that he may have pre-designated this. If he does get hurt, he can go see that doctor and for his regular stuff, whatever. So the team really doesn't have a choice. You know, if he designated him as his doctor, that if he gets hurt on the job, that's where he gets to go, and that's per the law, ladies and gentlemen. And that is your daily tip from Sports Talk with the Guys, a.k.a. the Labor Man. We're back to sports. Sorry, guys. You learn it all here on Sports Talk with the Guys, baby.
That's right.
Yeah, I hope we didn't intimidate our audience. So, anyway. But we know a lot of stuff.
By him going to his own doctor, he can probably deduct that. Right, Taxman? Is Taxman there?
As a matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, hold on a minute. Let me bring on the tax man. Hold on. Oh, he's busy. He's busy with the client. But anyway, I'm going to speak for the idiot right now. Yes, it more than likely is deductible as a medical expense. If you file the long form, you can deduct it under medical expenses. You should not be – well, is it a work-related expense? I do not believe – ooh, that's a damn good question, big dog. I'm going to have to look into that because if it's provided for you, you should put in for reimbursement. I don't think it would be deductible on first thought. I will look it up, and I will make it part of my Sunday night program when I do the tax man again. Ooh, good question, big dog. But on first off, I would believe it's not deductible to him if it's just a regular doctor's visit. Well, no, it would be a regular doctor's visit. But if it's a work-related injury, it would probably be deductible under his regular stuff, but not under work business stuff. Yeah, it would still be deductible on Schedule A. So, yeah. Thank you, big dog. You're letting the artist formerly known as the scorekeeper show off today. But we're losing our audience.
What would I'm going off topic again, but what would be like 100 pages or so? Like, say if you were to prepare Kobe Bryant's taxes, I mean, how many pages would that include?
Well, the actual tax form being filed would probably be, I'm just assuming this, depends on the portfolio, and that's what it is, the investments. It could be 10 pages. It could be 5 pages. But if he has an extensive portfolio, you've got to list. See, you've got to list anything over $400 on your investments, meaning if your total earnings are less than $400, you just put the number in there. But if it's more than $400 in earnings, you've got to detail everything. So it could.
Yeah,
I
believe that's what he earns, like, per second. So.
No. Earnings, no. That's no. This is investments where it's Schedule B, interest, dividends, stuff like that. Capital gains is Schedule D. Anything over $400, not one, but the total, the gross of that reporting has to be detailed. So if you make $398 on one savings account and $1 on another, all you have to do is write $399. But if you have $398 and $10, you've got to write Bank of America, $398, and First Interstate, $10, and then all the others. That's your daily tax lesson, kids.
Lieberman and Taxman, wow.
Yes, and the artist formerly known as the scorekeeper.
Yes.
Yeah, I told you, we're losing our audience. We lost them.
And since we're on basketball, just real quick, the schedule did come out on Tuesday. So anybody out there that's a NBA fan, you can check out your home team schedule. The schedule is out there. Lakers,
oh, really?
Of course,
for
the open
new season.
Yes, the new season schedule is up and running. So the Lakers face the crosstown rivals, the Clippers, for the first game of the year, and we go from there.
Hey, big dog, are you hoping to lose every game this year so you can get that first draft pick?
Nah, I would say so. If Kobe wasn't going to be back to like January, February, then I would say, yeah, just tank. But the way Kobe is and the way they're talking about his progress in his rehab, evidently he's like so far ahead of the curve of anybody that's had this type of injury that they're expecting him to be in the lineup on opening day. So if that's the case, Kobe's not the type of guy, you know, he's got that Jordan in him. He's not the type of guy to tank at all. He's going to do everything he can to win. So the way I see the Lakers right now, if we stay healthy, you know, which is a big if right now, we can stay healthy. I'm looking at us to be a number six, maybe a number seven seed. And then from there, you know, once you make it in the playoffs, anything can happen. But unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, we are going to be in the playoffs. So, yeah.
Oh. Wow. I want to give a shout-out to the Couch Potato, who is still listening in the chat room. And, of course, everyone else listening both live and in the archive. Don't forget, this program will be moved over to the NDV Media 2 channel once we're done. But I want to continue there, big dog. Hey,
yep.
Unbelievably, a lot of stuff is.
Yep.
Sports is never boring, man. Gotta tell you.
That's right. Nope. And you know, as bad as the Lakers did last year, which was pretty damn bad with the team that we had, we're still going to be on national television 22 times. And of course,
oh, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, we have the main Christmas game, of course, Miami. Versus the Lakers, and once again, we are home. So even though we had a very bad season, we barely made it to the playoffs, the two-time, oh, much as I hate to say this, the two-time world champion still got to come to our house on Christmas Day.
Really? So Miami's going to be visiting on Christmas Day?
Once again, yes. There will be five games on Christmas Day.
There used to be only one, right?
There used to be two. It used to be just two.
Okay, two.
Like a morning and afternoon. And now it's two games on ABC. I believe it's one game on TNT and then two games on ESPN for five total. I believe it's going to be the Celtics and I don't remember the Christmas games. It's the Celtics and the
Knicks.
Celtics and the Knicks? Yeah, I think so. It's the Celtics and the Knicks, the morning game, and then I think it's the Nets and the Nets and OKC, the Thunder. Or is it the Knicks and the Thunder? Damn, I can't remember. Then I know the Lakers are the mid game, and then I can't remember the game
up.
Four. Yeah.
Excuse me?
And
you're gonna
then
what?
and then I know the evening game is gonna be the Clippers and the Warriors. I know that for sure.
Hold on, I have it right here. I'm pulling it up.
Thanks for sharing.
Roger likes that, doesn't he?
I'm a little concerned. That's all.
All right. Chicago won at Brooklyn. That's the noon game. Oklahoma City at the Knicks, the 2:30 Eastern game. Miami Heat at L.A., 5 p.m. Eastern. Houston Rockets at San Antonio, 8 p.m. Eastern, and the Clippers at Golden State at 10:30 Eastern.
Okay, so the Houston Rockets Spurs game, that's one I forgot. Okay, cool. Yeah, it's going to be a busy Christmas.
Yeah, actually, there's going to be a lot.
You know, I'm starting to like the NBA more, guys, and I don't know, maybe it's because I do a radio show now and we talk about it, but I've really started enjoying the NBA more than ever, and that surprises me a lot.
Well, you know what? It does happen. The same thing happened to us that we just started following that more. It's just the way it is, dude. It really
is. Brian, are you a hometown boy and go after the Hawks, or do you have a favorite, a different favorite team?
Well, I hate the Hawks, actually. I liked the Bulls when Jordan was there. I've always liked the Lakers, you know, Magic,
okay.
And Celtics. Okay, I like Bird, okay. But I've always been a Lakers fan, you know, just always liked the Lakers, watching them. And especially since Jordan left the Bulls, that was the team I pulled for the most. So, yeah, I'm a Lakers fan.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be hopefully an interesting season. What I can't really understand, and I'm really surprised about, I mean, as well as the Indiana Pacers played last year and taking taking the Heat to seven games and, you know, the whole nine yards and everything, and they had no national games this year.
Wow.
I was just blown away by that. I mean, they were there. Yeah, they were the top. With one of the top four teams in the NBA. And
wow.
As far as I know, they have...
Oh, ask me if I really care.
Well, that was Hibbert's complaint. Remember to the media...
Sorry, big dog.
That was Hibbert's complaint, wasn't it, to the media when he got in trouble
yeah.
for using some bad language. Is, you know, nobody talks about us. Nobody knows. I mean, they're a very good basketball
yeah.
team. And
they are.
But the name, they don't have the big names, the household names, and that's the problem.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, Reggie's not there anymore, so no one really cares about the Pacers anymore. They had a little bit more media time when Bird came back, but you know that was about it. You're right. They're one of those teams that just can fly under the radar, and those are the teams that are so deadly because they have the firepower. I mean, with this year under their belt and having the Heat another year older, and they really didn't. Do much the Heat anyways to shore up their front line. Indiana's poised to make a nice run if they can keep it up.
Yeah, I think that was just a matchup issue with Miami. I think the Bulls are a team, even now the Knicks and can beat them. I just think it was a matchup because Miami was so soft down low that Indiana exploited it. I don't think Indiana will be much better than they were last year. It'd be hard for me to believe that. But I guess Miami can pray they don't have to play Indiana again. Maybe somebody else will knock them out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but the Knicks and the Nets—they're going to be one to watch. I don't know how the Nets are going to do with Jason Kidd as a coach. I mean, hopefully he can step in. But I mean, you know, being last year pretty much on the team, you know, and now. Now coach them. Let's see how much they listen to him. You know, they're gonna think he's more like one of the guys. And you know, I've always said, you know, it's gonna be great for him as coach. They're gonna listen to him to a point up until he has to really put his foot down. That's when you're gonna see how much he's gonna
yeah.
respect him.
Well, that's right, the management in everyday life. You know, everyday life. You talk
yeah.
about corporate America. You see someone promoted to a supervisor manager position that was just a regular team, you know, going to lunch with
yeah.
everybody every day, and all of a sudden they're the boss, and it's hard to gain that respect, especially when you start writing people up, disciplining them, but, you know, trying to correct their work. That's I've seen a lot of issues like that.
Oh, yeah, so have I. And I'm pretty sure scorekeeper has, or the person formerly known as.
Yes. Yes.
What are we going to call you? What are we going to call you? What name are you going to come up with now?
Rocky
oh,
I'm, Boot.
The all-knowing one?
That's a foregone conclusion. I already am. But for me to actually state that, I'm working on that.
Palpatine?
Well, I'm already getting that sort of love. I don't know, guys. I mentioned this to you a few months ago, and you just blew me off. I said, I think we need new monikers. And now the big dog, every time I say big dog, rrf, rrf. I say, it wasn't a threat, dude. It's just I think I've outgrown the scorekeeper now. And everyone knows me as a scorekeeper, and I'm just looking for something. I used a name, and everyone laughed me off because I said the Southern Gentleman and the West Coast Gunslinger, and everyone gave me grief over that.
I love
what
that.
You,
I love that.
What if you went to the
program
right anymore? Because they laughed at me.
But, see, I can see the Southern Gentleman. That works. But the West Coast Gunslinger, I picture Don Knotts. You know?
Guys, I'm not saying that I want West Coast Gunslinger. It's just that's one I chose, and I got ripped at big time. I was like, wow. Okay, that's not going to happen. So we'll see. Well, alrighty then. That was a wonderful. Where do you want to go, Big Dog? That was an uncomfortable bit of silence.
Well, we're pretty much done with news, so it's whatever you would like to talk about, or Brian, whatever Brian would like to talk about. Unless you want to talk about golf.
I know you don't want to talk about what I want to talk about.
What is that?
College?
Yeah, college football.
Oh, sure. That'll be a rather empty conversation, but go ahead.
Yeah, it's going to be one-sided.
Yeah.
Or how about this? Like, I want to go back, if you don't mind, to the Pujols deal. And so,
sure.
And I know you told me to not to say that on my show or whatever. Could I get in trouble, Roger, for saying I think Pujols took steroids? I'm not saying he did, but what if I said I think he took steroids? Now, Verlander's in
that's
this
a lot
as
different.
Well. Okay.
You see, Ryan, that is a lot different. You see, if
yes,
I may.
Yes, that is a lot different, yes.
Yeah. Clark said, so-and-so told me that he shot him in the butt, that he injected him. I may not have said shot him in the butt, but he says that guy injected him. And that's pretty clear, dude. That's different. And some people
yeah.
will say that. Say, oh, yeah, so-and-so's taking steroids. That's, you know, that's a lot different from you saying, well, I think he's on steroids. I believe he's on it. That's a lot different. That
yeah.
sucks.
And also the fact that Clark said, quote, I know for a fact that he was. So, you know, he's putting himself out to dry on that one.
But honestly, you know what? The truth be told, he probably was, guys. I mean, and that's why he's getting so defensive about it. Verlander, I mean, I've always thought, you know, he's on my fantasy team, that he was on some performance-enhancing drugs, and now his name pops up. I just think it's weird how two guys that I really believe was using, now their names are popping up. It's not a coincidence, guys, I'm telling you.
Well, you know who they need to talk to verify all this?
Who?
Jose Canseco. He'll tell you yes or he'll tell you no, because that man hasn't been wrong yet. I mean, he was given so much shit when he first came out and named all the names that he named. And, right, you know, over the years, and as Roger has said, you know, every single one of the guys that he's mentioned by name, it's come out that they were on steroids or something, you know. So everybody should just turn over to Canseco and say, hey, what about this guy? Hey, what about that guy?
And the days of believing that these guys are Roger telling the truth, that's the problem. No matter if you say, no, I didn't do it, nobody's going to believe you anymore because of all the lies with A-Rod and Fraud. So it's just,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and guys, remember this, that Big Poppy, the one from Boston, his thing of steroids was that his name was leaked, that he was on the list and that he tested positive. But he was a nice guy. They generally forgave him. But he's known to be on the list. If we go by the belief out there, he was mentioned as being on the list. There's no proof. There's no nothing. He denies it. A-Rod had no choice because it was coming out in the book. And remember, the only reason why McGuire came clean was because his brother was going to have a tell-all book. He's like, okay, you're going to do me wrong like that, you little punk? I'll just tell the story before you will. It was so funny when La Russa said, well, it's time for him to come clean now. Really? Sure. The only reason why he came clean was because his brother was going to do the tell-all book.
Well, yeah, that's why it was time to come clean.
Of course. Well, Brian, just continue with that. Is there anything else that you wanted to say on it? I know you've said that you believe so-and-so and so-and-so is on this or doing that. That's fine, Brian. I'm just saying don't get in trouble over it, and we're not. You know, if you're Clark and says,
yeah,
well, I know it for a fact and I have proof,
yeah.
Well, hey, you know what? He should have gotten the coach to come on his program and say, hey, dude, we were having a conversation. Why don't you tell me about it? And that's different. Had the coach been on the program and said, yeah, you know, I used to do this, and, yeah, I know for a fact because I did it. That changes it. Now, if Clark also, you know, I question Clark's integrity, but you've known this for 10 years. Why are you coming clean now? Is it only because you have a radio program out? I mean, that's, you know, that's very disingenuous. That makes you just as much, if it turns out that Pujols did cheat, that means Clark is the exact same thing as him. He's very disingenuous. He didn't share with anyone. As a matter of fact, he's trying to profit on the knowledge of
yep.
who Pujols was doing stuff. And that, you know, that's not what you do. Sorry, my phone's giving me problems.
So, guys, you know, you guys are really good at baseball. What players out there right now do you think are or could possibly be on PEDs? Any big names out there that haven't been mentioned in all this Biogenesis scandal?
Chris Davis.
Okay, scorekeeper? Formerly
It's okay. I think I'm back to scorekeeper. I was just going through a phase. I just thought it was funny, and all of you guys were playing around for a bit. I was like, no, it's not. I've been on this for, what, 2 weeks now, Big Dog?
Something like that.
Yeah. Big Dog, I will not name, because the only thing I know about steroids is when I can't breathe and I need to use my inhaler. That's about it. And that's not all the time. It has to be – it's seasonal when I feel bad. I'm naive about it. I am that way. I trust still more than anything. And they get caught, they get caught. I'm actually incredibly jaundiced now about it. If they get caught, you know, hey, that's it. Now you are guilty. And you got to pay the price for it. But, you know,
okay,
how
do you feel about Chris Davis, what Brian just said, when he named it Chris Davis? Did you see like physical changes in him? Did he hit 12 home runs 1 year and then he all of a sudden he's hitting 40?
Yeah. Well, okay, that is something, and I will be argumentative on this. Because, guys, that actually happens a lot. I have said this. Once players finally figure out to hit a curveball on a regular basis and, you know, have been around for a little bit, this is not a strange thing to see players that did not have the power all of a sudden become power hitters. That just happens. Players get that over time. But it looks suspicious when they only hit one or two home runs and all of a sudden they're hitting 40. It's not a strange thing. It does happen. But, you know, I will, you know, one guy that it happened to, Big Poppy. You know, all of a sudden he became a massive home run hitter, and it turns out that he is on that steroids list. So there you go. I'm not going to argue it because there are people that are smarter than me. Sometimes you can just tell. And if Brian believes that, you know, so be it. I'm not gonna get into that fray. I believe in the purity of people.
there's this Bull Durham you're trying to quote here. Come on, man. You know, I'm not saying that the guy definitely is. I'm saying if I had a gun yeah. to my head and I had to pick two or three players that was juicing and nobody was saying anything about or proven yet, he would be one on my list, just like Jose Bautista. You don't go from hitting 8-9 home runs to hitting 50. I mean, that's absurd.
And there you are, ladies
okay.
and gentlemen. This is one where Brian and I are definitely going to diverge on, and I think that's what is good about it. We're not going to agree. And there's a lot of truth to what Brian is saying. It is absurd. It is out of the ordinary, and there's legitimacy to it. All of a sudden, a guy becomes a bomber. All of a sudden, or a baller, you know, because of all the home runs they hit, they definitely become ballers. But it is something that we've seen in the past, and it's sometimes guys will have a phenomenal year. We call that a career year. They don't have more than one, Big Dog. So. That's why they call it a career year.
You already knew I was going.
Yes, that's why they call it a career year. You only have one. So there you go.
How about David Ortiz's outburst the other night when when he was in it with the umpire, he goes and takes his baseball bat and beats the hell out of that phone. I mean, just, I mean, absurdly. And then he comes out wanting to attack the umpire. I mean, that's roid rage all over it, guys. I don't know if you've been around it much or see it, but this guy needs to be banned from baseball. He's a cheater, and I can't stand to look at him.
I thought what he did was typical, stupid, and immature. Look, I've had calls go against me, and I've been up 3-0 just like he was, and the calls just came in and you strike out. You know what? You're pissed, but that's it. It's going to stay with you, so you've got to move on. He just snapped. It could very well be roid rage. I think it's funny when that is used. At times, I would agree that, well, it's funny, Brian, that I will relent to. When these guys flip out, I will jokingly say it must be road rage. Roid rage. Yeah. I won't argue with you on that one there, Brian.
I mean, but usually if you beat the hell out of something with a baseball bat, it eases your frustrations and you get over it and you're calmed down. But, hell, after that, he was even more angry. And it just made me realize that, damn, this guy's shot full of drugs and he's about ready to kill someone. And I can't believe the media is not picking that up.
I'll tell you why. Big Poppy is a fan and media favorite.
Yep.
He's a nice guy. He's always there for the media and for the fans. And people are like that are forgiven. If, what's that kid's name, Niger Morgan were to do that, that would be front page news over in the United Kingdom. Just the way it is.
If Aroyd were to do that, it'd be all over the news because everybody hates Aroyd.
And now here's the funny thing. Aroyd has never done anything like that. He's been pissed.
True.
He's gone after umps, but it's different. It's different, you know. Some people know how to treat umpires, you know, guys. Hey, look, when you get a shot in the butt by your cousin, I guess it's a lot different, you know. When you get it in the butt by your cousin, you know, hey, it's different for Aroyd, you know? Whatever.
So bad. All right, question I have for you guys. We're on a steroid thing. It's been coming out a lot more and more. Yeah. It's been coming out a lot more and more, a lot of insinuations and such, that the PEDs are really starting to become prevalent in the NBA. I really don't think so because I don't know, because these guys have to be so lean, such small body fat. I mean, they're so athletic where they got to run up and down the way they do. Other than maybe centers? I mean, do you guys think it's prevalent in the NBA?
I do.
As far as getting
like the centers stronger or just across the board? With all players?
I mean, I think people underestimate the fact that performance enhancing drugs, how it makes you feel about yourself. And that if you feel good about yourself and feel confident, you can do anything. And I mean, you could take steroids to be, if you're 300 pounds overweight, you could take steroids to go down to 195 and be ripped. So it's not necessarily just bulking up with performance enhancing drugs and steroids. So I think a lot of them use it. I mean, I don't think LeBron James has to. I mean, he's already just a machine. He doesn't need any help with that. But I think some players trying to earn that contract, trying to get some playing time, yeah, I think they use it. It'd be stupid not to.
Scorekeeper?
All right. Anyway.
formerly known as the scorekeeper.
No, it's just when Brian said they would be stupid to do so, wow.
Not to do so.
Well, I'm sorry, that's what I generally meant, not to do so. I'm going to let that one go. But what do you mean by prevalent? Do you mean that the majority of the league is using it, Big Dog? Is that what you mean?
Well, over the last couple of years, it's been said that, you know, they were giving percentages a couple of years ago saying that it was maybe somewhere in the 3 to 5% range. And now I've seen a couple articles within the last few months, you know, with all this biogenesis and stuff coming out, that they're saying it's more like 20 to 25% of the league now is on steroids. So the prevalence is going up is what I'm saying. And from the reports that I've read through different places, they're insinuating that. And, of course, no one's named any names or anything like that, but it says that they feel that there are a lot of players on the NBA rosters right now that are taking steroids.
Yeah.
So
Kobe Bryant's one of them.
on a 12-man team, you're talking about three players. Three of the 12 are on steroids on every single team. You know, so I mean, do you feel it's that prevalent, or do you not think so? I mean, you believe all the baseball players? Do you think basketball is heading that way?
I'm going to ignore that thing, that little comment about the baseball players. We're talking basketball right now. And all I have to say, Big Dog, is you have to see what these players have been doing. They have an extensive exercise routine with these players. And, you know, you're either in shape or you're not. And with basketball, you have to be in shape. I don't know if steroids is prevalent. I'm not going to say it's prevalent or not. I mean, come on. Who's providing these numbers? If someone has the balls to make the accusation, come out and do it. Otherwise, stop with the whispering. You know, stop with the whispering. Because here's what players will do to, you know, create a problem in the league for other players. Or if their contracts went bad, you start whispering to some sports guy, hey, you know what? These guys, well, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but you know, I've seen four guys on the team doing it. I said, really? How do you know? Do you go over their house when they're getting in the butt? I mean, seriously. I mean, why were you at their house when they're getting in the butt? Were you next in line? I don't know. Come on, cut it out. you know, start coming clean with the name. Otherwise, it's rumors and it's unfounded.
They were all at Jason Collins' house or what?
I don't know. I don't know, Big Dog.
Brian got that one.
No, I got it, and that's why I said I don't know. So, guys, look, these guys have regular training routines, and the reason why it hasn't been brought up in basketball is because we know what these basketball players have to do to get in shape anyway. If they're taking steroids, you know, I guess if it's legal in the league, you know, it's fine. But if it's illegal, see, here's the thing. If it's illegal in the real world, then it's illegal in the NBA too. Just because they don't have a policy against it doesn't mean. And,
oh, no, they have a policy. They have a policy. Hito Turkoglu, I don't know if any of you guys remember, Brian probably does.
Yes,
but Hito
I
Turkoglu
know him.
What I was going to infer was that he was suspended last year for, I believe it was 30 games. For testing positive for PEDs. Now, I don't know why, because he sucked last year and he sucked for the last 2 years. And he's out of shape, so I don't know how he's taking PEDs. But
well, it's because he's done nothing, and he's hoping it's going to give him superhuman power so he doesn't have to do anything. Look, when in basketball, I would think that as players get older, doing that regular routine would really be difficult, and that's probably when they would use steroids more.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
I use steroids to get an advantage, guys. That's the only reason I used, you know, to be better than the people that were close to me.
Wow. No, Brian has an advantage on us because he's taking steroids, and that's why way in sport. You know what? I'm going to go out
there
on a limb right now. There it is.
That's why way in sports is a heavy hitter.
That's why Way in Sports is so – because not only are they a heavy hitter, but they're special when it comes to college. So their steroid use is related to collegiate athletics. Way in Sports.
Have either one of you ever used testosterone or steroids or anything? Just honest question.
I use it from time to time because of my inhaler. I use albuterol.
It's different.
A steroid.
But it's not the same thing.
Okay.
I'm talking about, you're a man, you have high testosterone, say, but then you take under a doctor's supervision, you get shot every week, you know, with steroids. I mean, have you ever done anything like that?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I
haven't. It makes you, and the difference is, it makes you so clear in your head, and like, you can work out for 3 hours and not even be sore the next day and go do it again. That's the difference. That's why people do it. They can heal faster. And I'm telling you, you feel like you're walking around with a 14-inch thing, you know. That's how you feel when you're on those things. And that's why these guys are performing the way they're doing. I'm telling you, it's because they feel so much better. And,
wow.
And I'm telling you, that's exactly why they're doing it.
I'm sorry, Brian. I would have felt that yours was a 14-inch thing, and knowing that you said that, I'm sorry.
It's only 12.
Sure, Brian, sure. Usually we multiply everything by 3, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm sorry, Brian. I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just having a little bit of fun right now. The opportunity was there, but it's, guys, there it is. And Brian says what I feel is the real argument of steroids. And even for all the other idiots out there that say that steroids does nothing for you, well, we know what Mark McGuire said. And we also know that steroids does change you. It gives you a confidence. It gives you ability. It gives you everything. Steroids helps you in every which way. And anyone who denies it is, number one, ugly, and their mama dresses them funny. We know that. We know that. And you're stupid, too. We know that.
I'm like the street, like running. I mean, I would run, seriously, I could run almost a 4 or 5 doing that. And I didn't do it for a long time. I did it playing baseball. And I'm telling you guys, it makes a difference. And trust me, it does make differences in your personal life, too. Like the anger, you know, they say athletes need to be on the field hitting or doing something. They're right. Because if you take steroids and you're just sitting around drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, you're going to kill somebody probably. And so,
yeah.
I mean, it does. You have to let that out, aggression. You can't take steroids and expect to get bigger without actually working out harder. And,
you know,
people are stupid that say it doesn't do anything.
You know, and it's like what Curt Schilling said when this whole thing came out with aroid and the whole thing and Braun.
Mr. Bankruptcy.
Curt Schilling said, you know, they make bad players good, they make good players great, and they make great players Hall of Famers. And anybody that thinks it differently, is lying. So, you know, you're right. I mean, it just like you say, it just makes you feel better about yourself, and you know, you already have the skills that is to begin with because you're in the pros, and it just sharpens it to a point. I'm assuming, you know, because you said you were taking it while you were playing. I mean, it just sharpens it to that point where, you know, the baseball looks like a grapefruit coming at you. So, you know,
it
of course,
does.
And it's just, you know. And I guess I can see the advantages of someone wanting to do that because you see the guy next to you that you say that's almost on that same level as you. Of course, you want to be, you know, just that much better. So you're going to stay on the team and he's going to go, not the other way around. So
I'll put it slows it down. It slows like a baseball. It slows it down to where you can count the seams on the damn thing. That's what it feels like. That's how confident you are. It's like playing slow pitch softball almost. You know you're going to hit it. It is where you're going to hit it, how far you're going to hit it. But, I mean, I'm not saying I'm some steroid abuser or anything. I did it for a few weeks, and it was legal. It was under doctor supervision. Whether the doctor was in my best interest or not, that's not the point. but for Roger there, it was legal.
Yeah, Bri, I love you too, Bri.
So Brian, I mean, just taking it just those few weeks, I mean, really hit you that fast?
Yeah.
Hell yeah, it did. Yes, it
did.
I mean, the only reason I quit taking it was because it's not good for you, or I would have physically beaten the hell out of somebody, and it would have been bad. And so, you know, you're already hot-headed a little bit, and you take that, you better watch out. And that's what I would advise people. I mean, I'm telling you, it's like an uncontrollable anger. It's like you're angry. You're walking around. You're working out. You're angry, and I'm just speaking from me. I don't know about everybody else.
Yeah.
If you have road rage and you're regular, you get on steroids, you're probably going to run somebody over or try to. So I made sure I knew that when I went into it, that what I was going to do and how I was going to react, so it wasn't as bad. But I'm telling you, you had time for you just had to go outside or go to the gym and punch a bag or something to let that out, because you have so much aggression and energy, and just working out for an hour is not going to do it. You have to work out for 3 or 4 hours to even burn it off.
Well, we all know, ladies and gentlemen, that another reason why Brian got off of it is because, you know, the 14-inch just no longer had room in his, you know, in the knickers there. And, you know, it was pretty intimidating.
And it is true. It is true what they say about that when you're taking. So it is true.
Oh, it does. I shrink down, huh?
That doesn't, but the other does.
The durability, right?
No, it's like, I don't know, it's like you, I mean, no, the grapes go down to raisins. There's no doubt about that for a little while.
The grapes go down to raisins. That's funny.
or in my case, the bowling balls went down to softballs.
You beat me to it. That was good. That was good.
Yeah.
It's funny. That's
but
good.
It makes
you
feel like 18 years old again. I'm telling you guys. That's why these 30-year-old people, I mean, I started feeling... When I was starting to get 32, something like that, I started saying, God, if I dove for a ball in the outfield, I can't even walk the next day almost.
Oh,
imagine
what
these
that,
guys
like
feel
like. Ago. That was 2 weeks
ago. No, but I'm just saying, I mean, I used to, but imagine these guys are playing 160 plus games a year, going through that wear and tear, and they're getting older, and they don't want to be outdone by these young bucks that come in and just in their prime, and they just want to compete and still be the great. See, the problem is it's in their heads, guys. They don't want to be outdone, and they know if they take steroids that they're going to be able to compete. I don't care if you're 40 years old. If you're taking steroids, you're going to play like a 25-year-old. That's just the way it is. And I think people, I don't blame the players. I don't blame them for wanting to be better and doing that. I have a problem with them lying about it and trying to harm someone else's character and credibility to cover up their lie. I have no problem with everybody in baseball taking steroids as long as they admit it when they're asked about it.
This is how I knew that steroids were prevalent in baseball, especially in the last decade. When you saw the increase in the pitching staffs from 10 to 13, number one, there were two things with that. It was manager stupidity, team stupidity, that every time you throw a pitch, you got to change a pitcher. I mean, that's stupid. But the other reason for that was because these pitchers couldn't hang because they were getting rocked. And you were looking at ERAs in the 8s, 7s, 5s, and 6s on a regular basis. Bullpens were littered with pitchers that could allegedly not pitch because of ERAs. When you're looking at the average ERA being in the 4.0 range for starters, that means they were getting lit up by machines at the plate. That's how I knew, Ray, that the steroids was prevalent. All of a sudden... you know, ERAs look normal again.
Yeah.
You know,
can't compete with somebody that juiced up that's already a good player. I mean, every Major League Baseball player out there is very good. They can hit a damn fastball. And when you're throwing 97 and they're hitting it out of the stadium, you know, I mean, you can't get one by Barry Bonds, could you? Nobody could get a pitch by him. I mean, they're hitting it out of the dang park.
It was a joke that everyone would say, and everyone remembers it, you throw one pitch to Barry and it's gone. And it's true. It was true. I saw it so many times. Ball three, and then they kind of like dial one in, and bam, it's gone in McCovey Cove. And he did that on a regular basis. He was so dialed in. That's what everyone was saying. He was so dialed in. And we now know why. He fooled us all. It wasn't his natural ability. It was steroids. And that's why a lot of people are angry because of it. Because they wrote him, you know, but they labeled him future Hall of Famer. You know, the Barry Bonds of the world. You know, I mean, come on. So the only people that were pissed off were all these idiots that incessantly try to put titles and labels on people.
Okay, will Bonds ever make it in the Hall?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, he will.
Ooh.
Nope.
Very soon he'll make it.
No.
Is he eligible yet or no?
It's got about 5 years, right? Is it 5 years?
Yeah.
He's coming right in that time, right?
Yeah. That's close to it. Yeah, 4 years. Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
I think he was eligible this year. I think this year was his first year.
I thought it was next year, but
Barry was a Hall of Famer before the steroids, though. That's what you got to remember.
You just punched scorekeeper's button on that one.
He was a future Hall of Famer, you know.
I'll tell you this, that I'll accept Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame, and I will not accept Jack Morris. Jack Morris, no.
He sucked.
Yeah,
I couldn't stand that guy. Shave your mustache and get out of here. So that's a...
Barry Bonds got 36% of the vote. He got 206 votes.
He's going to be in there before long, guys, because he was a Hall of Famer before he started injecting it. See, he got jealous when he watched Barry or Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa cheating, getting all the attention, and he wanted some of it. So he took steroids. But here's the deal. He's never been proven to take. He's never tested positive for a steroid test. That's what I tell people. There's nothing to keep him out of the Hall of Fame.
Neither has A-Roy's never tested positive.
I know.
Yeah, but he admitted it, though. He admitted it. A-Rod admitted he used performance-enhancing drugs a while back.
Yes.
Yeah.
Barry didn't admit it.
He didn't admit it. I mean, you could just tell. I mean, look at the pictures of before and after, and now before, and now after. He's back to looking the way he was in his Pittsburgh days.
His head fell up the size of a picnic hand. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's why I coined, you know, his nickname, Big Head Little Ball.
And actually, Big Dog, that name stuck. Everyone likes that one. Big Head Little Ball.
But Barry Bonds is probably one of the best of all time. Probably at least top three or four of all time players. He deserves to be in that Hall of Fame, guys.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go. All right.
Okay, now that we're off there, let's go to Pete Rose. I say Pete Rose deserves to be in the Hall because what he did about betting on baseball, he did as a manager, not as a player. He should be in the Hall as a player. Unfortunately,
and he bet on his own team. He bet on his team, not to lose. If he had bet to lose, then I'd say throw his ass in jail. But he bet on his team to win.
And the thing is, unfortunately, baseball doesn't differentiate between a player and his managerial time. You know, you go in as a whole. Am I not right, scorekeeper?
Yes.
See, and that's the problem. I think, you know, it's a little bit different in basketball. In basketball, you can go in as a player and you can go in as a coach. So you can actually go in twice. Or as John Wooden, you go in three times. As a college player, as a professional player, and as a coach. So John Wooden is actually a three-time Hall of Famer in the NBA, in the NBA Hall of Fame. But baseball, unfortunately, doesn't do that. So Pete Rose, because of what he did post-baseball career, keeps him out of the Hall. Do you feel that maybe there should be a change in that rule where you could vote someone in as a player or as a coach?
Sure.
Guys, right now, in the case of Pete Rose, baseball didn't do anything to him. He accepted the voluntary lifetime ban. It's not what baseball did. It's what he did. Remember that.
He didn't read the small print, the fine print, guys. He didn't realize that he was going to be banned for life. And that's his fault, trust me. But you got to let this guy all the things.
Well, he's stupid, but we know that baseball presented up evidence, and he says, oh, man, okay, I'll take it. I'll take my lifetime ban. And everyone says that it was inferred that he could appeal every year thereafter. I'm like, oh, wow, great, you know. Based on what we know, he, you know, besmirched the game. And remember, Mickey Mantle was a Hall of Famer. And he took a job in a casino, and he immediately became persona non grata in baseball. He was a greeter at a casino or something. I forget exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And baseball turned its back on Mickey Mantle because he was involved with gambling. And when he left that, all of a sudden Mickey Mantle was back in baseball's graces.
You know how many players gamble on baseball right now, Roger? You'd be surprised probably how many players bet against themselves and on themselves. It happens every night.
Well, it's very possible, and I'm not naive, but I prefer that, you know, I prefer not to pass that judgment on them. I do know that a basketball player that was playing for the longest time was caught for point shaving, and he played with Golden State Warriors, and that's why we thought, oh, no, dude, he was nailed for point shaving. What was his name?
Who,
the guy that never
was
to shoot the ball?
Well, anything for Sacramento. Remember
that. Sacramento. Yeah, sorry. Who was he?
With the Michigan Wolverines?
Yes.
Who was the Fab Five? Part of the Fab Five?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Roger, Chris Webber. I want you to take your Dodgers glasses off right now for me. Is that one of the reasons maybe you don't want Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame? Because I know you guys hate anything to do with the Giants. And I understand that. Trust me. I understand that completely. But does that have something to do with it?
But Roger's
my
a Yankee.
My Dodger glasses. I'm not into – I don't hate
–
the only thing that I hate are Reds fans, and I've said that.
Yeah, you have. Over.
Yes. And I said it does get on my nerves, and it does annoy me when I hear the Mariano Riveras of the world, and it does annoy me to no end when I hear so-and-so future Hall of Famer. It's like, you know, everyone is such in such a desire to put labels on everything. It's, you know, make your argument without the label. Make it good, and if you've got to use that one, it's just like a cheap sportscaster saying, oh, that's a busted play. Really, asshole? Really? Number one, that was grammatically incorrect. And two, thanks for letting us know what we just saw, you moron. So, you know, hey, that's my opinion.
And we love your opinion, Roger.
And yeah. I love yours, too. And I accept Big Dog. Jeez. No love, huh, Big Dog?
Oh, yeah, there's love.
No, I said I accept your opinion.
Hey, I was going to tell you, the Blog Talk did a poll, and Big Dog is the number one co-host on Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, please.
Believe it. Believe it.
Actually, Brian, that was very well done. But you should have said, Blog Talk Radio took a poll, and it turns out that the Big Dog is the number one host.
I almost said that, by the way.
Yeah, then I would have said, you can go to hell, Brian.
No, no. I'll tell you guys are both wrong. I'm not the number one host. I'm not the number one co-host. On Blog Talk Radio, I'm the most loved, so there.
Oh, yeah, that.
I've never had a crossword with Big Dog, and I've never wanted to say anything cross to Big Dog, even when I didn't agree with him. I guess that's a Southern gentleman in me, or
right.
if a Big Dog is such a big teddy bear. I don't know. You have to love him.
Yep, that's what the girls love.
Whatever. But yes,
now, Jonathan, Sonny, Cuervo, I can bust their balls all day long, and Roger, but not Big Dog, though. Not Big Dog.
Aw. Roger.
Oh, Roger's jealous now. He's jealous.
Yeah, Roger's in the corner.
Give him a minute.
Better watch out.
Are you okay, Roger Pooh?
Actually, what happened was I was in my high back chair and I moved and the cord got caught and it unplugged everything. Oh, my goodness. That was kind of funny. But, hey, it is what it is. It's all good. It's pretty good, guys. Pretty funny.
Okay,
there it is.
Roger, right now, with you saying that you accidentally pulled it off in between, that reminded me of one of the early shows that I wish we would have had a camera in there when you got a cramp. Do you remember that, when you got the cramp? In your leg?
Something was going on, and, yeah, I was going to answer, and I got an ugly cramp. I guess I was
on
mad and I was going to say something and all of a sudden, oh, I, oh. Yeah, that was painful.
That was funny, though. That was a funny moment.
Yeah. The big dog and I
say... Crabs suck.
Yeah, they do, especially when you get one on air. And you want to say something of value, but it's all good. Ladies and gentlemen,
I played a baseball game and about died one time doing that. I had a cramp in the outfield, and I couldn't. It would never go away.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Ooh.
That's bad.
Yeah.
I've had a cramp in a game once, and, it wasn't like that, though. Mine kind of went away. I was like, oh, geez, give me some water. Give me some water. I got beer. No.
Pickle juice.
What we also
do, when
I was in high school, coach would get water for us and slices of lemon, and you put the slices of lemon in there, and that's what you would drink during the game, and that helps you a great deal. Water with lemon. I've done it ever since then.
Dill pickle juice.
Not kosher?
Nope, dill pickle juice.
All right. Yeah, I don't think
you guys
have...
Is that like a southern remedy or something, or what?
Oh, that's an everywhere remedy. I don't give a damn if you're in Alabama or Los Angeles. If you want to get rid of a cramp, you better drink some pickle juice.
Okay, hold on a minute. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian hates Alabama. Well, okay, but I noticed that if you want to piss people off, that's what Brian told me. He set me up, the little rat bastard. He set up, but I played along. He said, Bama sucks. Oh, my God. They went wild on his program. And it was during college season, too. Brian was a...
He came into the chat room with about 30 people. Probably 10 of them are big Alabama fans, obnoxious. Roger comes in. I wanted him to say Alabama sucks.
And he made me say that on air, if I remember correctly.
I think you did. It didn't go over too well.
Nope. I died in the
chat
room.
For me, it did. I loved it.
So he set me up that way. But my point is, he's comparing Alabama to Los Angeles.
Well, no, he wasn't comparing. He was saying
it's the same thing,
Alabama to Los Angeles.
Yeah,
oh,
it doesn't matter where you are. It
Alabama,
doesn't matter where you're located.
The same thing. Wow.
No. Because, see, over in Alabama, no, it's not the same thing because we have more than one tooth when we brush our teeth.
Ooh. I have all.
But it's actually West Virginia, baby. More likely West Virginia. Well,
hey, I have the prettiest smile you've ever seen, ever.
Brian, thank you for that. You have the prettiest smile. But, ladies and gentlemen, the joke does originate, where was a toothbrush invented? It was invented in West Virginia. Because if it were invented in the South, it would have been called the toothbrush.
Oh, man, that's bad.
Yeah. I made my wife laugh one day. Because we were watching something on TV, and it was like a white country bumpkin he was on. And I think he said, you're my cousin. Or, no, you're not my cousin. I told my wife, because he's in denial, because that could be his mama, that could be his sister, or that could be his aunt. But definitely
now, people in the South do marry their cousins. Now, that's not a...
Yes,
that's
they do.
Not a, and that's pretty sad. I know someone that married their first cousin.
Wow, their first cousin, wow.
First cousin,
yeah.
And their kid was born. It actually died at birth almost. It was so messed up. So if you're out there,
oh, wow.
Cousin's attractive, just keep your hands off of her, okay?
Hey, well,
or don't
you
get
what? Yeah, exactly. If your cousin's attractive and she's willing, hey, you know what? Go for it. You
don't,
do whatever you want, but
don't
make
get
sure
you're
pregnant.
Don't marry her, okay?
That, well, again, don't marry her. That's right. That's right, Brian. That's good stuff there. Way to go, ladies and gentlemen. Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday, joined by Brian Tarvin of Way In Sports. Brian, tell us, tell us your website and your program. Tell us about your program right now for those that are listening.
Well, our program is on every Wednesday and Sunday evening from 9 p.m. to 11 or 12, whatever. Wherever we can go now. We're 3 hours. And we are, I mean, we talk about all sports, the major basketball, baseball, football, but right now it's college football and NFL time. And we bring it home every, those two nights, but we do touch baseball. We're not going to ignore baseball right now. But you got to join us in the chat room. We have a lot of funny people that come in and visit us. So our website, and it's almost complete, it's under construction, is weighinsportstalk.com, all one word. And if you want to go to blogtalkradio.com/Tarvino, you can follow our show on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at weighinsports. There's a lot of ways to get in touch with us. On Facebook, we have a page, weighinsports, or Way In Sports Talk, and we have a group, Facebook message group, Way In Sports. So, hit us up on there and get in touch with us. Roger, you're part of those groups.
Yeah, and there's a lot of gruff that goes on that one. Yeah, you've got to have a thick skin, kids, if you're going to go to that. But I do. I invite you guys to go to that one. It's fun.
And we're not Sports Talk with the guys yet, but we're building on it. You know, we're a popular show, but. But the thing is, you have to love college football. And now at this time, you know, it's that time of year, and I think our numbers will go up a lot. So y'all make sure, you too, Big Dog, call in tomorrow night and talk some football with us.
Yeah.
Ladies
and gentlemen, how humble Wayne Sports Talk is. He says he's not Sports Talk with the guys. Well, of course not. But he's implying something else. And let me make it clear to you. His audience is six times ours. So he is glad he is not Sports Talk with the guys.
No, I love y'all's show. You know that.
Oh, yeah. But, we love having you
here,
on,
here's
dude.
The deal. Here's the Sports Talk with the guys. You have people from out of country calling in, and you talk about so many different varieties of sports where we're focused on college football mainly, NFL football. We do talk a lot of NBA, Major League Baseball, but you guys are a little different in that. I mean, you talk so many. Y'all talk soccer, don't you, sometimes? You have different people calling in with soccer updates from other countries.
You're more
global than I am. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, we even talk. I mean, how many times do you talk cricket?
We talk cricket and rugby. And the one thing that some people kind of were joking is that these guys even talk about, elephant racing from India. And that we actually had a whole segment, which I dropped at the last minute.
Yeah, we did.
The Commodore and I had written a season, basically an 8-week season about, I forget what we called it. It wasn't elephant racing, but it was a Mooma kill. But it was the scientific name for an elephant. And we had dreamed it up, and I told the Big Dog we were going to do it. And Big Dog was like, yeah, okay, whatever, dude. And just about the time we were supposed to do it, we just got cold feet. We were going to do an Indian, you know, elephant racing league to screw with everyone, dude. That would have been funny. We should have done it, but we lost.
Well, I have a lot of Indians that live by me, so we could maybe get that up. We could do it here in Atlanta.
Wrong type of Indians.
Yeah.
No. I mean, these are Indians from India.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Not the tomahawk chop Indians, but the Redskin Indians, like the Washington Redskins.
Now,
Brian, that you mentioned that, and your show is mainly football oriented, whether it's college or pros. What do you think about that? About them, the so called people that are standing up for the Indians that want the Redskins to change their name?
Oh, so
I think
you mean
stupid.
The people that are standing up to the pale faces, right?
Well, the people that are standing up saying that
crackers.
That the Indians are so, tired of hearing that and it's offensive to them and this and that. But yet they don't say anything about it because it really doesn't seem to bother them. But all these NAACP and ACL and every other stupid alphabet soup you can think of are saying, no, we represent the Indians. They just don't want to talk, but we don't think it's right. You know what? They shut the hell up. They don't care. It doesn't bother them.
I'm part Indian.
That's what
I have Indian blood.
May I ask the tribe that you belong to?
I can't even remember. There's so damn many of them.
Yes, but you're part of it. Yeah, you're American. That's cool.
No,
you're,
but
you're
if you look at my granddad, you'd see he looks almost full-blooded Hindi.
Really? Okay.
Well, my grandfather,
so I won't get into
grandfather was a Indian chief in Mexico, so I have that in me too.
Yeah.
You know.
But he said, Big Dog said this, I've never had a Native American, anyone say anything about that Washington Redskin name, and I know several. So, and I think it's the people that doesn't have a dog in the fight. I can't say if it's offensive or not to them, but they haven't told me. I'm not the one, you know, being called that. But, I mean, I'm just tired of all this political correct garbage. If the Washington owner wants it to be the Redskins, then he has the right to be. And I just don't see anybody complaining about it, really.
And since you're at, you know, in the Atlanta area, I mean, does the tomahawk chop bother them also? I mean, have you heard anything about that?
No, nothing. You know? I do know they changed the mascot from the Atlanta Braves before, but as far as the tomahawk chop, no, everybody loves it. They don't care about that. But we're not trying to put Indians down by
the
doing
tomahawk.
It, I mean.
Yeah, a chief, whatever his name is. Yeah, that was a little bit.
That was a little bit overboard, right?
Yeah. that was a little bit.
Yeah, but I mean, look, this country is going straight to hell because of political correctness, guys. I mean, it's just nobody can say what they really want to say or do because everybody gets their damn feelings hurt over stuff that really doesn't even matter.
Oh, speaking of, you know what? Now that you said that, I'm going to, you know, how old are you, Brian?
Hey.
38? Okay. So, no, even the age group. 36. Even the age group.
36.
You're still in that age group. Okay. I don't know if you guys heard or not. Roger probably did, since he's always up on the news. But in Seattle, the county or the city, whatever it is changing their views, and they are no longer using the word citizen or brown bagging. Citizen because they say it officer.
Oh, my God.
This was just a couple of days ago. It came out. Citizen because they say not everyone in Seattle are citizens.
That's their problem.
So now they're changing the word to resident because they say they don't want to alienate anyone in their emails that they put out to the public. Or their, you know, papers or whatever. So they're no longer going to be using the word citizen, but resident, because everyone is a resident of that city, but not everyone is a citizen of the city. So, which I think is stupid, but whatever.
Are you trying to piss me off?
Yes.
No, this is the one I have never heard of. I mean, you know, I don't know, maybe because I'm just from Southern California. Roger's from here too also, and I was been born and raised. You, since you're over in the South, maybe you've heard of this one, but I had never heard of this. They are not using the word brown bagging anymore because, of course, that means, you know, taking your lunch, you're brown bagging it, as they, you know, a lot of people say. They're not being allowed to do that anymore. They said because back in the 20s or the turn of the century, the 1900s, they said the word brown bagging meant that when someone was going to a function of some sort, and they were wondering if you were black or not, because blacks were not allowed in certain places back then, that they used to actually put a brown bag to your skin. And if your skin was darker than the brown bag, you were not allowed in. And if the skin, of course, was lighter than that, then they said, okay, you're not black, so you're allowed in this place. I had never heard of that one. Had you guys ever heard of that? Either one of you?
Not that phrase in particular, no.
No, but I do brown bag it daily.
If you're in Seattle, you are not allowed to say that anymore because they say brown bagging it is offensive to black people. The person that was on the radio reporting this was like, if there are any black people listening to my radio show, he's all, call in. He goes, have you ever heard of this before? And I was thinking, I've never heard of that before.
Okay, again, I'm sure this was something that was prevalent back then, but then now, look, they fall out of use. The words fall out of use. They do.
Exactly.
And they take on different connotations. For someone to say that brown bagging today is offensive, I find that hard to believe. Everyone says they're brown bagging, and I've heard coworkers say that who are black.
Yeah, well, in Seattle, you're not allowed to anymore. As of, I think, the beginning of this month. That was...
Big Dog, if you said that it cannot be used in official correspondence and stuff, fine.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you can still say I'm brown bagging.
Well,
yeah,
is there a fine for it or something?
Two years in jail?
Probably with Seattle. But I just thought that was idiotic. And you're right. I mean, this world's going to, you know, hell in a handbag because everybody wants to be politically correct. I mean, if they're going back over 100 years to find offensive words, I mean, we're not going to be able to say anything.
Big Dog, please. Yeah. It's either Gehenna or Hades, not hell. Please. We cannot use
it. How about just Georgia then? Because it's hot as hell here, so we can just say Georgia. Going to Georgia.
I would have said Texas, but I think we might keep that one. Oh, Big Dog, just go to Georgia. That's funny. That was good, Brian. Ladies and gentlemen, we are down. I'm sorry?
You could tell me to go to Rite Aid because, remember, that is the fifth level of hell. I've already said that many, many times.
you actually have. You have said that. Ladies and gentlemen, we are down to 4 minutes. I know the Big Dog has to get to doing something. And it's been a nice... Yeah, I've been watching the time there. It's been a good day. Good morning. We've had Brian on with us. It's a lot of fun. Every now and then, ladies and gentlemen, pimps and hoes, you should be paying attention. Brian and I will do a program from now and then, or every now and then. So it's really good. Who knows? Maybe Brian and I might do a three-hour one during the week since we have access to two channels. So we'll see.
I have a suggestion for a show. You can do a show for Pimps and Hoes. Pimps and Hoes.
Yeah,
the
actually,
Pimps and Hoes
ladies, show. You need to check out NDB Media 69.
That's right.
Yeah,
we do have.
Yeah, that channel does exist. blogtalkradio.com/NDBmedia69. Didn't know we had that one, huh, Brian?
I thought this was a three-hour show, by the way. Didn't it?
Oh, it is. Do you want to continue? Because Big Dog has to get going.
I'm joking.
Yeah,
whatever y'all want to do.
Yeah. It's all good.
So join us tonight. I'm having an interview with Alex Ferguson from Sky Sports. I'm going to do an interview with him. I don't know what the hell I'm going to ask him, but he wants to do it. But can I ask y'all a question real quick before you go for the Blog Talk Radio?
Sure.
Do you mind?
Sure.
If someone's calling from another country and they go, I send them the link to my show, they can call free via Skype. Isn't there a Skype button by the number that they can call?
Yes. And as a matter of fact, if you use Skype, Brian, you could actually conference them in on your call. All you have to do is have Skype open and conference them in, and they'll be on your main line. But, yes, they can use Skype. All they have to do is the chat room has to be open, and once the program is live, they have to refresh, and then they'll see the Skype button after about a minute or two up on top. Yeah.
So if I told them to call in at 7:02 instead of 7 or something, that would be better?
Sometimes it'll take a few minutes even after that, but I would say to be on the safe side, you know, tell them to go in the chat room first, and once they see it in the chat room, to call in and have them in the chat room, 702, 703, by 705, it should refresh, and you should see the Skype button at the top.
But it is free, correct? For any caller, no matter where they are. Okay, cool. Sorry about that. I just wanted to make sure.
Not at all. It's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, you get it all here on Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Our compatriot Brian from Way In Sports is on with us. Of course, Couch Potato was earlier. Guys, it doesn't get much better than this. We are playing with the big boys right now because we have a three-hour channel, but today we're only going to go 2.5. Ladies and gentlemen, he has a big interview on tonight. What time is your interview?
7 Eastern. I'm going to do it. I'm actually going to let it be live, too, and I'm going to play it back on another show. So if you're out there and want to listen live at 7 Eastern, join us.
WayInSports.com, ladies and gentlemen. So where's he calling in from? From the United Kingdom?
Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
Wow. Okay, well,
I just wanted to make sure I didn't have any big bills because I don't allow guests to pay for anything, so I would pay for it. But I was just making sure that I didn't have to come out of pocket any money today. That's a good news.
They can use Skype, or I believe once you're in, you could actually call him through Skype as well, because once you're in on Skype, doesn't your Skype screen open up, and you can add callers. So you can do that too. He can call
you
on your
Skype.
How
do you dial
that up,
though? That's... Okay.
We'll talk about that online. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go ahead and let you go. We are done. On behalf of Brian and the Big Dog, Big Dog?
See you guys. I hopefully will be there Monday night for your show, for your contest. And because I know I work Monday. I'm not sure if it's Monday morning or Monday night. If it's Monday morning, I will be there for your show. And, of course, I will be doing my Monday night show.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Brian, you got to join us on Monday night.
Thanks for having me today.
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me today.
Oh, thank you.
This was going to get me in trouble, but it was a pleasure finally having a gentleman on the show.
Oh, wow.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Brian, we will talk before you go live, maybe at about 6:30 your time via Skype, okay?
Okay. All right,
we'll see you guys.
Peace!
Later!